everyone. Welcome to Simplexity, where we simplify the complexities of life and turn the complicated into common sense. Here, I'll speak with supremely intriguing, refreshingly forthright experts, artists, scholars, scientists, entrepreneurs, leaders, and human beings with unique vantage points who can help expand our knowledge of what's happening on the planet while discovering more about ourselves. This is a space for curiosity, contemplation, and meaningful, sometimes difficult, conversations. To boot, each episode will end by gathering the key takeaways and turning them into short affirmations that you can repeat and use to transform your reality and stay charged up and resilient throughout the week. I look forward to hosting the journey and learning alongside you. So let's step into the world of Simplexity. It's anything but small talk. Peace.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh.
Well, you know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead in Sports. We didn't broadcast last week. You know, we had to move things around a little bit, but we're back this week live and in action. So we're not going to hold you guys up. We're going to go ahead and get started. But
Lamar Jackson, man, is it, like, what does he need to do to secure the MVP? Because it's between him and Russell Wilson.
Front of the table, like win the rest of these games. He got to win out. I didn't know they were 7-2. So okay. If you can get the number one seed in the AFC, if you can beat out the Pats for the number one seed, regardless of whatever your record might end up being, I say you have an argument. If he's still playing good the way he's playing now, and if he, because I wonder what's his passing yards total so far, and because he's almost at 1,000 yards rushing, right?
Yeah, he's almost at that. He's up. I think he's projected to get 1,200 yards.
So 1,200 rushing yards, yeah. And probably over maybe 3,500 passing yards. That's crazy, right there, man. That's crazy. And you prepare your team to a 14-2 or 13-3 record with the number one seed in the AFC.
He's got over 2,000 passing yards, 15 right TDs, uh-huh. And 5 interceptions.
And then how many rushing yards?
They don't say, because I guess, well, hold on. Because he a QB. Rushing attempts, he's at 700 yards, and he's averaging yards. Like wow. Over 6.5 yards per carry.
Wow. Mm. So if he
– wow. Got 6 touchdowns.
So he has a chance to go to pass over 3,000 yards and have over 1,000 yards rushing. That's crazy. So if you do that, if you secure the number one seed in the AFC over the Pats, I was – because you got to think about it. Before this season started, wasn't really nobody – we had them as a wild – like barely hitting the wild card.
We were surprised. So, and it was surprising last year when they were a wild card.
That's what I'm saying.
It was just like, damn, like we didn't think this nigga could throw.
That's what I'm saying.
Obviously, the Chargers figured them out. Like, all right, so next season they're going to figure them out.
Right. So going into the season, we kind of had – I want to say on the show, we kind of had like a little bit low expectations. I think we still had them as a playoff team, but not like this.
And I think for we're different than the analysts, right? The analysts thought that he can't do shit as a QB.
Right.
We gave him that credit like he's a QB, but as far as the quality of QB you asking for, we didn't. Right. That's why our projection was based off of like if this nigga only can run.
Right.
What are we talking about here? Like, yeah, it ain't going to last.
He came out the gate the first game of the season.
Throwing
that thing.
And he's got a really good passer rating as well. I feel like he's getting better as a passer. Like, even in that Bengals game, I'm on sabbatical still with the Bengals. So I was like, we kind of rooting for him to see what he could do.
Yeah.
And the passes he's throwing to the tight end, Andrews. Him and Andrews got a really good connection. Mm-hmm. Him and obviously Hollywood Brown got a good connection. And then the way he can just improvise, like, that 47-yard run touchdown as far as, like, He beat like 5 defenders. He beat 3 of them on one spin move.
One spin move. That's crazy. They all ran into each other.
And I know the Bengals are bad at tackling, but it's still a QB, you're still going against professional
linebackers.
Is outrunning everybody.
Yes.
And you can't guard that. But I will say their schedule coming up is as far as winning out, it will be somewhat tough. They face the Texans this Sunday at home though.
Is that a primetime game?
It's a 1 o'clock game.
That's stupid.
That's something that
NFL is dumb.
Bomani Jones brought that up.
They need to flex that. They need to flex that game.
Bomani Jones brought that up. He was like, it's interesting how all these older QBs get these primetime games. But as far as the young talent coming up, the young black talent specifically, it's like, why wasn't that Kansas City-Baltimore game a primetime game? Right. Like, why wasn't
Pat Mahomes' first game back?
Exactly. Why isn't the Texans versus Baltimore a primetime game? Why is that a 1 o'clock game out of
right.
all games?
Right. Like, who? You got two of the hottest quarterbacks in the league with Watson.
Both
and,
in the MVP race.
Yeah.
Face the Texans this Sunday at home, so that's good. Then they're on the road against the Rams, which I don't know what that would be. Then they go back at home for the 49ers. Then they face they're going on the road at the Bills. Then they have the Jets, Browns, and Steelers, and the Browns is the only road game they have at the last three. So the way the Steelers are playing, the way the Bills' defense is, the way the 49ers are playing, the Rams, like, that's a lot of good, like, competition to really prove yourself.
And if he goes, like, 13-3,
yeah,
lose only one game for this going out, and pull up crazy numbers.
What's the game you think he will lose out of that stretch?
Which name? Let me see that.
It's the Texans.
I don't know if. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, no, you good? Okay.
Go, yeah, I don't know if I would say the way the Steelers are playing. I think they're winning games, but
you didn't think that the way they defeated the Rams was impressive, or you just because you don't give a fuck about golf like that.
I can see Bills sneaking in and just getting the win. Like,
yeah,
I can see
the Bills have been sneaky all season.
Right,
so I
can see Bills giving them that L or whatever, but. Yeah, if he go 13-3, man, and pull up crazy numbers, he might. My only reason saying this is because of expectations. Like, we expect Russell Wilson before this season starts.
But why is that? Why do we
expect what?
Why do we, like, because they both pretty much not do the same thing, but essentially do the same thing. Like, they're a dual threat quarterback. But they can run, they can pass.
We didn't think Lamar was going to come in this season.
But why is he the heavily, like, favorite? Is it because he's new or in Russell's?
Second year.
Yeah,
second. Low expectations.
Yeah.
You know, we remember. Yeah.
We know what Russ said. We know what Russell. We got evidence. We got factual evidence and visual data of what Russell Wilson can do.
So, I think that's what happened with Patrick Mahomes. Like, the expectations were
so high based off last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking more with Lamar is that because we kind of felt like we were, you know, we didn't get the full fulfillment from Mike Vick's career, that we seeing a guy like this is like, I want to see this nigga take it to the fullest, and I want to see him to get.
Yeah, I want the brothers to see.
The doors that Mike Vick broke down, like, I want to see him literally run through that shit.
It's like, I hope so.
Because everybody, I think, to B's point, if they do go 13-3, 14-2, go into the first round of the playoffs and, you know, actually get a bye, beat the Patriots or whoever, get to the Super Bowl, like, and then possibly win that. It's like, that's now the NFL landscape is changed. He'll be the Steph Curry of the NFL because he will literally change the game.
If he do that, if Lamar Jackson win
but
a
Vic
Super
changed
Bowl,
the game. He's just an extension of Vic.
But I will say that is correct. But at the same time, no organization has really embraced their QB like this. Mm-hmm. Like, even when Vic was back there, like, they didn't put a whole offense around him like they doing with Lamar.
Would you say Vic is an extension of Randall Cunningham, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see where you're going. Like, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I could easily see that, too.
Because that was comparison a little bit. I mean, people were like, yeah, Vic is more explosive. But you saw, like, it was like, oh, shit, this is Randall. This era's Randall Cunningham at that time when Vic was doing this thing. So
yeah.
I would say the same. The way you say it's extension of Vic, I would say Vic is an extension of Randall Cunningham.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so,
yeah,
so Lamar, Super Bowl, Lamar's y'all MVP pick. If you had to make a vote, like,
fuck, I still say
right
Russell
now,
Wilson. I still say Russell Wilson. Okay. Maybe. I mean, he
was you. Did you watch that? You watched the highlights of the Seattle game?
The way he got it done. I mean, he made some. I think it was the overtime. He made a pick.
That was the pick. Yo, that overtime was crazy.
It was
because it was. Well, first of all, we got to talk. We're gonna get to Jimmy G. So
yeah,
Ken, don't worry. We're gonna get
he's
to
0-1 so far. And he's, remember we was talking about that last week.
We was talking about the schedule.
Was like, he going 2-6.
I still think he's going 2-6. But with Russell, it's just like that 3rd and 16 that he made that pass to where, and then the guy obviously had a yak yards, like. That's some shit you just can't coach.
No,
man.
You
just can't coach
that. You can't coach
that,
dude.
Like, this dude is just like, and he was getting sacked, like, probably what, 8? His sack total just got up by 30% from that one game alone. And
he
still was fearless.
Yeah.
One of the smallest dudes on the field just throwing it, trying to make something happen.
I still got to give it to him, man.
Why is that? Is it because of competition or just because of just perseverance?
A little bit of, I would say perseverance. I would definitely say because we look how we pin Tom Brady. Like, everybody always pin Tom Brady as perseverance. Why we can't do the same thing for Russell Wilson? You know what I'm saying?
Well, because I think that people say he had more talent around him throughout his career.
Who, Russell?
Yeah, Russell. Because he had the Legion of Boom.
Just on a defensive side, that's really it. That's it. Really.
I think what helps him is he lost all that talent, and they made him the guy.
And look what he's doing. Because remember, when the Legion of Boom was broken up and stuff, what were people doing? They was questioning, okay, well, now we about to see what Russell Wilson about.
I was one.
Yeah. You sure was. People was like, now we going to see what Russell, he don't got the Legion of Boom to lean back on now, so we going to see what he's about. And look what he's been doing. Like, they looking like Super Bowl contenders right now.
And of the last, like,
last year,
two, three seasons, he's been leading. Like, he's either been top two or top three in touchdowns as far as, like, and, like, there was one statistic, like, he was, like, responsible for, like, 86% of the touchdowns that team had. Like,
you see?
And that's running and passing, so.
That's why. That's why I got him as MVP.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson.
You got Lamar Jackson?
After watching that game, I said he got to be the MVP. Just off the plays alone, I think the electricity that he brings, the excitement that he brings, he's the greatest show on earth. I was going to say turf, but that's the Rams. Right now, he beat the Patriots. He got there
when
fooling.
They were undefeated.
Yeah. Fooling on the damn Bengals. We know the quality of competition isn't there.
I mean, and he conventionally beat the Patriots. There wasn't no overtime.
Right.
If it wasn't for those fumbles, because they made mistakes.
Right.
It wasn't even like the Pats got
right.
like up.
Right.
They responded. It was like because of that, what was it, the kickoff or pump return, something like that.
That, for that
fumble and the Mark Ingram had a fumble.
Yeah, Mark Ingram fumbled.
They could have put up 50 on them because they was up already by 20.
Yeah, with Russell Wilson, they should have lost that game.
Yeah, against San Fran.
They should have won the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, should they have lost that game?
But, you know, because Jimmy did throw two interceptions.
And Seattle was on the road, too, right? So that means San Fran had to come to Seattle.
But Jimmy did – I mean, not Jimmy, but Russ did throw an interception right back in OT. The kicker just – I don't know what he was doing. So
the kicker looked like they found a diamond in the rough, and then it got real rough at the end.
You know, it was adrenaline, too much adrenaline. It was like, damn, I get a chance to win a game in OT. Because
he had to make three good – like, he had to make three clutch kicks, and he did two out of three. So he at least got him to OT. Mm-hmm.
You can't miss that one, though.
But they what do we always say? You don't leave it in the hands of your kicker.
Hey, Seattle did.
And look what happened with Seattle.
That's why Russ threw that pick. I think he was going for the gusto. Like, I just want to get this touchdown and that tight end. He's been doing great with all his tight ends. It seemed like they just dropping tight ends like flies, and he just fucking, like, fuck it. Jimmy Graham was here, and I'm
going to take this stuff further, man. They winning the Super Bowl.
Ravens?
Mm-hmm. With that defense?
They winning the Super Bowl, man.
Their defense is pretty good. I mean, it's not like they ain't shut down. Okay.
I'm not saying shut down, but, like, who like, when you're talking about the high-octane offenses, especially in the NFC probably got the best offenses in the league. And even with the Pats, like, they were able to still throw up some points. Even, granted, again, they had some, you know, help by the Ravens. Like, you're going to deal with the Chiefs. You're going to deal with the Texans. You're going to deal with that in the AFC. But in the NFC, you got the Saints. You got the Seahawks. You got the Niners. You got the Packers. You have Cowboys. Like, you have a lot of teams that can throw
and
up.
And they all
points.
Slow.
What do you mean?
Who fast on that defense that can mess with Lamar Jackson? And then you got Hollywood Brown.
But it's not about – I'm not worried about what he can do. I'm worried about what the defense can stop.
I don't think they can stop him.
And then he's running smart, too, man. He's sliding. He's going out of bounds when he have to. He ain't trying to make that extra play and trying to muscle pass nobody.
People have said that people need to start giving respect to RG3 for being that guy who's like, nigga, learn from me. Look at my bumps and bruises, and you can be successful in this league. Yeah. Like,
I don't know, man. I just got a feeling when
you
I saw that.
The only way they can get far with what they're doing is their run game. Is the key for all that shit.
And they got Mark Ingram. He can run the ball.
He can, but if someone is able to, you know, like, for instance, like the way that the Vikings were able to hold Zeke down, and that may put more pressure on Dak, and Dak had to ball out just to even
Dak
get
can't run like Lamar, though.
Yeah, but he has to throw. As a QB, you're eventually going to have to throw the ball.
And Lamar has proven that he can do that
he
so far.
He can, but can he come for, like, they've been up in all their games. Like, coming from behind, we saw what it was like when he was against Cleveland, and I think even in Kansas City. Like, it's hard for him to consistently
get. Yeah,
he came back against Kansas City, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't that close. Like, it got close. It wasn't that close until the end. Like, it was a struggle to get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was – and that was –
because I was mad because it was a blowout. I was like, yeah. Because I think I was playing Lamar Jackson that week, and I was like, oh, good. And then I was like, damn, these niggas came back?
Yeah. And some of those was like some, he was just tossing that shit up in the air.
I don't know, man. Like Jim Harbaugh coached Cap, right?
No, his brother did.
His brother did. Well, they talking. So, but yeah, man, I don't know. Look, I'm not good at predictions. I tell everybody this all the time when it comes to these things. But I really kind of go by feeling. But just watching him out there just fooling and understand the competition, I was like, man, if he get loose.
It's a magical season.
Jesus Christ.
I got the feeling that it is a magical season. Harbaugh got the OC from the Niners that dealt with Cap, so that's what they're using as a blueprint. And obviously we saw what Cap did as far as his peak in the NFL.
Because if you're a defense, right, how do you stop him? So let's say, for instance, Matt's is right, Matt's Kellerman, first take, who for whatever reason thinks that Belichick is so smart that he'll be willing to take a loss in order to figure out how to stop Lamar Jackson. Let's just say that that's true and that his objective coming into the rematch would be just to spy Lamar Jackson with linebackers. That's still two defenders that you've taken away. You can still get your running backs underneath, your tight end. You can send your corner, wide receivers out. You're still taking away two defenders, and we've seen that he can throw the ball.
But the way he it's all about his process, and that's something that you'll have to look at in the game film and all that. But like, how many reads does he make before he runs, and outside of the design plays for him to run, can he be able to be like, all right, first read is gone, second read is gone, all right, now I'm taking off, or is it just off of first read gone, I'm taking off? Because if that's the case, then that if they can speed up that process, he'll be able to make more mistakes.
Yeah, they dropped back into – I thought they did that last year to him, where they kind of dropped back into a zone.
Well, they did the zone for the Chargers. And it helped as far as him not being able to throw. He had to run. And, of course, if you got – and they did all, like, DBs. They didn't really have linebackers. They had more DBs on the field so they can keep up with him. So it's like, if you use that strategy, yeah, it can work somewhat. But right now, the way they're running the ball, they're running the ball on everybody.
And yeah, they didn't have Mark Ingram last year.
They got the number one scoring offense in the league right now just from running the ball.
That's crazy. And you need that in the playoffs.
You have to, because that travels.
Yeah, and when it gets cold, when you're playing them
in the AFC, that's where the cold cities are at.
Man, so you definitely have to run.
Yeah.
Damn, Ken. That's crazy.
I've been sitting with that too. Like, damn, could Lamar Jackson win a Super Bowl?
That shit would be nuts.
That
man.
Would be so nuts.
Because if he wins that, then, yeah. Leading up to it, he would have to win the MVP,
man,
obviously.
Black folks will be partying every day. And we're that damn.
I think it's a race between him and Russell Wilson. Though.
It definitely is. Yeah, definitely.
Is it Russell's trophy to lose? MVP
I think
lose?
It is among the analysts.
Yeah.
I think that people that really sit back and watch the game are going to give him a lot of props. I think maybe stiffer competition. Beating the undefeated team, but so did Lamar Jackson.
You know who else I think? I don't think he has a shot at winning. He might win Offensive Player of the Year, but Chris McCaffrey.
He'll win Offensive Player of the Year.
He's been balling, dog.
He's
been balling.
They want to give it to him.
He's been balling, though.
They've been trying.
His numbers definitely speak.
Yeah. No. He is the QB on the team.
But it's still, but right now, it's Russell and Lamar Jackson. Yeah. But MVP.
Yeah, because they always want to defer to the quarterback. Anyway.
Right.
Yep. It's just funny. It's like it's black quarterbacks and then it's white running backs as far as MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And the Seahawks, they still got a tough schedule, too. They got the Eagles that when they come back from their bye on the road. Then they have a home game against the Vikings. Then they're on the road twice against the Rams and the Panthers. And then they're at home to close out the season against the Cardinals and the Niners.
You know, the thing about Seattle, man, it just feels like you can just trust them in whatever situation they're in.
Is it because of the coach and the quarterback? Is the same way like Belichick and Brady?
It
like
really
is. You just trust it?
It really is for me. It's like none of those matchups concern me. I didn't hear a loss. They could lose. But they'll just figure out a way to win.
The only loss I see is possibly between the Rams and the Niners, only because that's division. But the rest, I don't see them being scared of the Eagles. I don't see them being scared of the Vikings, because like all these have questionable quarterbacks with questionable other holes in their team as well. Only the division stuff that I care about is because it's like they see them the most.
All right.
Yeah, they are definitely the NFC's version of the Patriots. They just somehow find ways to win.
Mm-hmm. And Clowney showed out too.
Finally. Because we were just talking about him last week.
We sure were. A couple weeks ago.
Questioning that brother.
Yep. Let me ask you this. If Steelers make a wild card, you know, say they go 9-7, 10-6, they make the wild card. Would Tomlin be coach of the year?
He's got to
be your coach of the year.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Does
Tomlin? Should he be considered coach of the year? I was saying like should he be in the race?
But
if he gets this team to the fucking playoffs and they didn't even make the playoffs last year with AB and Big Ben, then you got to give it to him this year.
He has to be in the consideration. Like
he's got
to
be like
top two, top three, top two for coach of the year. If he can take this team to a wild card
with a backup QB.
Is it a third string?
No, it's second.
It's second. Okay.
Yeah. They won a game. They drafted him. Yeah. Yeah, they won a game with Devlin and Hodges, I think. Yeah. So they won a game with the third string, but not a second. I think people should be talking about him more.
I think so too.
I would say that if he wins coach of the year, he should quit, go to Atlanta, and like just to rub it in Pittsburgh's face because they always – I hear them on their radio, local radio, they always be talking shit about Mike Tomlin. They
still talking shit about him right
now?
Not now,
because they can't say shit now.
Historically, they did that to
the guy that was there before.
Bill Cowher.
Yeah, they just want to win.
They just want chips. Yeah. They like the Lakers.
They want to win. Like playoffs, they don't care about playoffs. They care about Super Bowls. I think he deserves to be in the conversation. I don't think he'll win it.
Right.
Depending on what happened with San Francisco down the stretch, if they continue to win games, they may get it. I think Tomlin would definitely be more deserving. But I think even right now, because we don't know how this is going to play out, but just the fact that after 9 games, they're 5-4 and currently will be in the playoffs.
Right now they'd be a 6 seed right now in the playoffs.
And they could be 6-3 from the San Fran game where they like had 9 turnovers and they couldn't capitalize on it. But defensively he's got these boys up.
Minka Fitzpatrick, man.
You was talking about
hey, I just told you.
And he's been balling ever since he got traded.
Ken was saying on our fantasy squad, he like, yo man, we might have to stick with Steelers defense. I'm like, man, you sure? Our Patriots been like our MVP. He like, man, we need to go to Steelers defense.
We're just going to keep it so nobody else can get them. That's all that. Because I just happened to look, because I just knew their defense to be trash. And then I just happened to look one day. I'm like, God dang, they putting up some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I snatched them up real quick. But, yeah, Minka Fitzpatrick came over. He changed the defense. They got them young bloods on there with the rookies and all these other
Devin
guys.
White is looking like a beast. Mm-hmm. You still got T.J. Watt.
Yeah, T.J. Watt's balling. Mm-hmm. The scheme, whatever scheme they're working, whatever they're running is working out a lot. And Tomlin got criticism for not having a good defense, but that defense is winning games for them right now. So I think he deserves a lot of respect now more than ever. And I think in the group chat I said they're only going to use it against them. And what I meant by that, and I wanted to say before the show, is they'll be like, oh, well, if you can do this with them, why can't you do that with AB and L. Bell?
Well, it's hard to say that when you look at what AB's turned into.
I know.
When you look at what L. Bell is looking like outside of the Pittsburgh uniform. And on top of that, you're looking at.
He don't even look like a top five back anymore.
No.
But at the same time, it's the Jets. Like, you know, they've turned a lot of, you know. You can't really – I'm not really going to judge him for what he looks like, even though I expected a lot more. But from the way the Jets has been dysfunctional, it's like I don't expect anybody to prosper.
I'll concede part of that only because Adam Gase is a terrible coach.
Yeah, exactly.
And he don't want him at all.
Yeah.
So. He never wanted him. So it's like, how am I going to use you right if I never even wanted you? But I will say that he's definitely making Big Ben look extendable in my eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Mason Rudolph is learning on the job. He still doesn't look quite – comfortable yet with some of the throws.
He's got the arm talent, though.
He's getting there. He had a first-round grade when they drafted him in the third round, so they believed in him. It's hard to believe watching him play now that Big Ben was scared of losing his job to him because he doesn't look like a threat at all. But this is the first time playing extended. So he's just like Kyle Allen, just like all of these guys, he hasn't played a lot. So he's still kind of a rookie. He's been sitting on the bench for, 2 years? But as he become more comfortable and they assess him and grade him, they could very well look and say, okay, I think we got our quarterback now. You know, they got young receivers, Deontay Johnson and James Washington, Jalen Samuels, who is a utility back. So they got some pieces they can play with, but they still got to develop the receivers. They're still young.
They do.
So, but the future will look look, prices, they still got Juju. And but he's impacted by the quarterback play. So he doesn't look like he should look. Mm-hmm. But Mason Rudolph can't get the ball to where he needs to get it. But yeah, I think he did. I would like for him to win it, but I think.
Who would be ahead of him right now?
I think Kyle Shanahan would get it, depending on how they finish.
I was going to say, I think I was leaning towards Sean Payton.
Possibly.
Because of with the yeah, whole Teddy.
He did it, yeah.
Teddy Britt, you're going yeah. undefeated.
He basically did the same thing, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, he got yeah, his guy back.
That's, yeah. But that depends on, again, like how Drew Brees plays.
They got their bookies by the Falcons, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We can go into that. Where the hell has this Falcons defense been hiding all this time? Or is it just
division game?
Yeah, I was just about to say division game. You know, teams all – some in most certain divisions or certain teams, when they play each other, you throw the record out the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, throw it out the window because – it's not going to matter.
But, like, with the Saints coming off a bye at home, like, you would think they'll be more prepared.
You think.
It's Drew Brees.
I mean, these teams, it ain't a dome. These teams, they get up for certain. If they can be 0-8 and they get that one win against the Saints because they got up for them.
The way I was thinking of it, like, yes, I agree with you all as far as the, you know, if it's a division game, just throw everything else out.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the part of the season last year, right, where Drew Brees started to regress. He started off hot, or the team started off hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he got longer in the tooth of the season,
the age was kicking in.
He was the regression is starting. Like going back to even a couple seasons ago when he was re-upping his contract, that took a while, and he only got 2 years, $50 million.
The only difference is he played in those games. He's been on the bench taking a seat. He's been holding the clipboard.
Yeah.
So he should be physically fit enough to finish strong.
And seeing Teddy Bridgewater win all those games, I think he got a little nervous. Like he's talking about something. I got to come back from the team. I got to come back.
Yeah,
like,
you know how he is.
You know what you're coming back for.
And he was writing. He was writing a sermon in them little huddles. And
the
chants he be doing. Yeah. Like I would say this. He was one of probably the best QBs. Like as a leadership.
Yeah.
Like he'll get you hyped. But looking at Teddy, like this
man.
Is, and he looking at the league too.
Man.
Like this is a black league.
Yeah.
It's coming. The white man is time is up.
This is the white man's greatest fear.
Yep, is losing that QB position.
Because once you do
that's
that,
the last,
that's
the
only position. And the kicker, if we get a kicker, it's a wrap.
We had one.
And Raiders, yeah, he started doing the motherfucking backpack kid dance
Right?
Like, that's what got him out.
Yep.
John Gruden was like, fuck all that shit.
Yeah, that is. That's
out.
Like the last position that they really holding on to. I don't really count offensive linemen. I mean, they're going to still be what they are, but QBs is the last shining star position.
That'd be worse. Just all white offensive line.
That's what you need. You need an all big ass white boys blocking for you.
Yeah,
that's what you need.
But yeah,
black
folks
get mad.
So you don't see it as a QB competition possibly
with him
and Teddy. I think I brought this up before. Y'all was like, nah, niggas, Drew Brees, fuck all that shit. Man,
yeah.
You win five games. We talked again with Carolina. You win five games with an aging quarterback who was that dude back in the day, still has some, you know, not to say he's done or spent, but as far as for this organization and where they want to go, like, they've been knocking on the door for the last couple of seasons. And if they don't get it done this year, it's like, shit, my nigga, like,
the
NFC only going to get harder from here.
Yeah, they had some bad luck, you know, happening in the playoffs against them. But Cam Newton's fucked up. Drew Brees is not. So I think that's the difference. And you know, he looked good when he came back that first week, first game.
Yeah, but I think if I'm the Saints, I think you better hold on to Teddy Bridgewater because Drew Brees is up there in age.
But you got to pay him because he's a free agent.
I think they already he's a free agent this year?
Yeah.
So they only paid him for 1 year.
Oh,
man.
He ain't staying there. Teddy gone.
Yeah.
Teddy gone to what, Chicago?
I don't know where he's going,
somebody
but he out of there.
Somebody going to give him starter money.
That Taysom Hill guy they love so much, they're going to have to put him out there.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's going to get starter money somewhere. These five games he won, he already proved to the
only
league, like,
team,
look,
yeah.
I'm still a starter in this league.
The only team I really want to go to is the Bears. Because they're just one good QB away from
– they're not getting rid of
Trubisky. What about their coaching situation? I mean, are they well coached?
Matt Nagy, I think he's a good coach. I just think – because he came in, that's not his guy. Mitch ain't his guy. So, but I think
he took the job.
He got the job by saying I could do something with him. Like every head coach think like
you said. You said Mitch is Trubisky wasn't his guy.
No,
so the guy before him,
yeah, was drafted Mitch.
Oh,
he came
okay,
in and
I
said
that.
I can do something with him. And then that's when he had that 11 and they had the 11 win season. And now is this year two? Everybody thought he was going to progress, and they even talk about it in the off season. But obviously, you don't see that shit. So I think he could still have an out by saying, this wasn't my guy anyway. Let me go get Teddy. If y'all
he'll
like,
be gone first.
The coach?
Yep. I'll take that back because I haven't read a lot about what the organization think, but I think with the investment they paid in him, they'll probably look at the coach first and be like, man, you said you can do something with this guy, and you're not. And we traded up to get him. We brought you in here to do something with him.
But can he just say, and obviously he won't say this, but just paraphrase, like, can he say that that sound like a personal problem? That sound like some fuck up that y'all did, that even though I came in, because only 32 jobs of this head coach. Of course he going to say whatever he got to mm-hmm. get into the position, but I can't do much with what you're giving me. I only can use to the best of my abilities what you're giving me. And right now you're giving me a below average QB.
Mm-hmm. And if I hire somebody that said they could, and they come to me and be like, yeah, man, I can't do shit with him. Then I'm like, all right, I need to find somebody else that can. And that's the thing.
So how long do you stay with Mitch?
I think you do the Jameis Winston. You go all five years. And that's what I heard.
But what about Khalil Mack? What about, you know, Eddie Jackson? What about this defense that you have that mm-hmm. obviously, you know, great defenses only last, what, 3-4 seasons at mm-hmm. best? And then you retooling and hoping that you can keep it up like that Baltimore type culture.
A good QB can last decades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you get the right coach that can come in and work the system, you see it with Harbaugh, then you know you're gonna try to make that happen just because of the investment. If he was like Tannehill and they just drafted him, then you know you would probably be a little bit more reluctant to keep him, but. I think that investment at least will get him.
I would say before you get rid of the coach, get rid of the GM and whoever drafted.
They could do that.
Whoever
yeah,
drafted
that
the guy, and because you mortgaged your whole future on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, just kind of going back to what I was saying about the Bucks. Like Jameis, Bruce Arians is on record. He's saying that Jameis' future depends on how he finishes the season. We all knew that, but we've never heard them say that.
And he was already fucked up with that. And what was the first throw he had against Arizona? It was a pick. I'm like, all right,
But this was after that game. So he said that if Jameis, I listened to it this week, Peter King. And he said that if Jameis plays the way he's played the last 2 weeks, including Sunday, then that will determine whether or not they keep him. So
he got to basically bounce back. And he'll get a 1-year deal.
I don't know what deal. It may be a 1-year deal, but yeah, his future is really hinged on him. This is. I mean, we all knew this. And people watching already knew this, but it's finally official on record, and that's why I wanted to kind of put it out there. I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Well, speaking mm-hmm. of someone else who just had a bounce back kind of game,
mm-hmm.
was the Browns versus the Bills. I think, yeah.
Mm.
Baker got it done.
That stash, he got rid of that damn mustache. Changed his life. Did he get it done? I didn't watch that game. It was 1916.
Yeah, I watched it. He made the game winning touchdown the pass to the touchdown. I think it was Rashard Higgins who had the catch. I may be wrong, but
still not using OBJ.
He tried though. I would say from what I saw, it just wasn't OBJ day.
I realized he
had the most targets that game.
He has most targets most games. Yeah. That's quiet mm-hmm. as it's kept. From the games that I've seen, it's like he'll get like 6 targets and like have 1 to 2
needs
catches.
10 to 12.
You can't give him that many.
Yes,
He got 12 this game. Okay. This past game.
You can't give him with Landry, yes, with Higgins, Hunt.
The Broncos game, Odell only had 6 targets and Landry had 13.
He typically averages about 6 to 7, so going by your strategy, and they ain't won. Peppering him with 10 and 12 targets, they got to win. But Kareem Hunt helped, I'm sure.
The way they use their backs was good.
Yeah, and I kind of understand your point. Like, you got all these weapons, you got to spread it out, but he's your playmaker. He is your guy. And one of the things that he's been saying behind the scenes is that it's not the lack of targets, it's the lack of targets in certain situations.
Like one-on-one situations.
Not even just one-on-one, like when the game is on the line, fourth down, third down, when they need plays, he was like, yo, y'all got to come to me. At least give me a shot to make a play. That's where he's getting frustrated. But I didn't watch that one. It still looked like it was a bit of a struggle, but the Bills have a good defense. I still don't believe in the Bills. I think Josh Allen is – I mean, that dude, man, He somehow found a way. He somehow found a way with running the ball. His passing looked terrible. He is what Trubisky should be.
If he wasn't 6'5 and it can run if like Trubisky, a 4 or something.
Trubisky, mm-hmm. If Trubisky could mirror Josh Allen's game, or if the coach could get that out of Josh Allen.
Then Bears would be better off.
That's what they did Bears last be year, though. That's what yep. I was. That's why I don't understand what happened from last year to this year, because that's kind of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Like, they tailored the offense to, like, he would scramble, he would do short yardage. Mm-hmm. And
Trubisky's in his head. Like, he I think he don't even – I think they have removed all, like, TVs and stuff from him and stuff
that's
like
that's what
that.
He said. He said, I don't want to see – they keep talking about
like,
us.
Bro, like –
nigga, they talking about you. They ain't talking about us.
Right.
Yeah, he's in his head. That's not good for the psychology of a quarterback. Like, quarterbacks block that shit out.
Right.
You know, they go get the job done. So that's not a good look for him mentally. But they got to play – they got to play Pittsburgh. Man, this is a division game. That defense is swarming the field. Kitchens – play calling the suspect. He's learning on the job. Heard there was some questionable calls in that game.
Oh, no. Baker's going to get harassed in Pittsburgh. Are they on the road?
They might light his ass up. But football is any given Sunday. You never know. It's not like Mason Rudolph is lighting it up himself. But
they're at home that game, Thursday night game.
Who?
The Browns. Browns versus Steelers.
And they need this win. Both teams are really desperate.
Yeah. Honestly, so this should be a great game on a short week, though.
I might watch it. I don't know. I don't like watching Mason Rudolph.
That's your QB. You like, this ain't the dude.
Nah, I don't like watching him play, man. I don't even like watching Baker. Baker has regressed in that system under that OC. But they came back. They got a win. But but Landry talking shit. Talking about, are we ready for war? Nigga, they been shooting at y'all all season.
Right.
You lost all these battles. You think you ready for the war.
Exactly. You've been getting shot up all year long.
Nah, yeah.
You ain't ready.
That's what they feel like every game they've won, they've talked shit right after that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when they beat the Jets, yep. When they beat the Ravens early.
Like your boy, Pat Shurmur. Now, he quiet as hell right now.
I'm quiet on that subject right now. We're going to move on real quick. Man, B, will the Lions get rid of their coach sooner than later?
I hope so. I mean, I was talking to my dad about it. I said, I really hope that I hope the Lions lose out the rest of their games this season.
Because they at least get a draft pick out of these losses.
I mean, you know, plus I don't like Matt Patricia. I don't like Matt Patricia. And I think if they go lose out the rest of these games, it would make them, 3-12-1? Yeah, that I think he got to be out of there. He got to be out the paint because it's not showing. But you know they're gonna hang on to him because I have a feeling they're gonna hang on to him just because of the Bill Belichick tree he came from. But let's be honest, a lot of people from the Bill Belichick tree
don't do shit outside of
for Bill Belichick. Really, I mean, but you know,
and Bill O'Brien, that's the only one that's it, man.
Yeah,
is that Deshaun Watson or is that him?
That's what I'm saying. So yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not like I said at this point. And then Matthew Stafford might be out for longer than what they anticipated because they say he was like day-to-day, week-to-week. Mm-hmm. But now they talking about he might miss 3 to 5.
What do you think they're doing point. That Steph shit? As well
maybe.
As like shit, just keep him out till next
point,
season.
Yeah, at this point, you know, our cornerback, he's not happy. He's I think he's ready. Sly, he's done with the organization, I think. I think they're going to get rid of him.
Oh, Darius Slay,
yeah. I think he's done. He's done with
that. He's talking shit, that's what it is?
Yeah, he's talking shit. He's not happy. I mean, he wasn't happy when we trade off some of our good defensive captains and stuff, man, mm-hmm. during the midseason. So, yeah, at this point, I kind of hope we lose the rest of this season. I hope we lose out. Just lose out this season so Matt Patricia can be on that hot seat and they can let him go.
But then what's next for that? Like, I'm asking you this because I'm like, how many times are you going to keep rebuilding?
We shouldn't have fired Caldwell. Like, I mean – we should not have. I know I've had some disagreements in the chat before on YouTube, but Caldwell, at that moment, yeah, we didn't get no playoff wins, but we made the playoffs twice in that 4-year span. Mm-hmm. And he still had a winning record. It's not like he had a losing record.
Yep.
We had a winning record. We went to the playoffs twice. I think we got a shortchange in one of those games. We had a bad call against us. But in the other one, we just lost. We made the playoffs. keep that man. At least let him go out his whole contract. He still had one more year left in his contract when we fired him and got Matt Patricia because, oh, Bill Belichick, come on, you a part of the Bill Belichick tree. Bring that winning organization here. Hell, within the first 3 or 4 weeks, you was coming late to your coaches' meetings. You was coming late. And then you was already losing the locker room early.
His first year. They talking about revolt. I was like, damn,
that's what I'm saying.
This is like preseason. I'm like, that's what I'm saying.
So
what the hell you do?
Yeah, man. And like, if I feel like he's losing the players again, and
if they
don't play for him and lose the rest of this season,
to me that goes with as far as the full blow up.
Yeah.
Like if you gonna blow it up, blow it up. Like get rid of the players. Let's just start from scratch. I don't know if you want to keep Matt Stafford. I don't know if you really care about Matt Stafford.
You're paying him too much money.
So you're going to have to keep him, but like at least try to bring in some of his guys to try to justify. Because I don't necessarily think you need to fire him. I just think something's got to give. Either you're going to pick him or you're going to pick the team. So if you're going to say like, nah, we got a good team. Mm-hmm. We just need the right coach and let him go. But if you're saying, no, I believe in this coach. We just got to get the team right. Then you need to trade Slay. You need to trade all your assets that you have right now or whatever's left over and then just try to rebuild from there.
Then we're going to be
stuck. Because like you said, like with all the shit, all the talent y'all got, 13, well, like I know, 3 man. And whatever.
3-5, 3-5-1.
It's like that's not – and the games that you look at, you're like, nigga, we could be 6-0 probably.
Yes, man. Like, yeah, man. Damn Lions. It hurts.
That Chiefs game against the Titans –
I didn't see that. I mean, I'm just saying, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't.
On paper, I was like, Chiefs should win.
I was nervous about that game because Tennessee they've been sneaky all season long, and their defense has been pretty much underrated. I would say for the last couple seasons, I know they like top 10 right now, or at least. And it was Pat Mahomes' first game back, so it's like you don't know, like the rust. He balled out, but that defense. Like
the Chiefs defense.
Yeah. Like what? Yeah. Like he threw up for what? Almost 400 yards, 3 touchdowns and shit like that. It's like
yeah, he think he threw for like 446 in 3 touchdowns.
Like what else can he do? Like that's the thing that we've always said. Like bro, yeah. This defense can like even last year we were talking about like man, like they're good on third down. At least that's the money down. Like now it's just like you ain't good at shit. You did all these trading for Frank Clark and you got Tyrann Mathieu. Like where is that showing? You let Marcus Peters go. It sounds like you need him.
Yeah.
Because you can't cover nobody. Like, this is Ryan Tannehill's offense.
They just let him.
Like, this ain't Aaron Rodgers. This ain't Drew Brees.
Right, you let Ryan Tannehill light y'all up. And then Marcus Mariota, he lost his job.
As he should have.
So, yeah, I think we should have the same injury for Marcus Mariota as we do for Jameis Winston.
Will their defense keep them out of the championship game, AFC?
Chiefs?
Yeah.
You like this? Yeah, you got to stop somebody at some point, especially in the playoffs. You got to.
Because
you got to have some stops, man.
Like, look, when you break down the Ravens, we talk about their running game, right? And we know when it comes to the running game, the best thing about that is that it keeps the other offense off the field and it keeps your defense, you know, energetic.
Yeah.
Because then if I don't have to go out there for the next 5 to 10 minutes and I'm cool, I got my health up. But with the Chiefs, it's like, all right, we get on the field, we score in like, what, a minute or two, and then we off again. And then they score. It's like you go back and forth, and then like all we're waiting for is the time to run out to see who won. And that's what happened literally in this game.
Yep. I don't know, man.
Like, because like you said, you have to stop somebody eventually.
And what's the Chiefs record now? Like, 6-4 now, right? 6-4.
Yeah, they lost, two straight?
I don't know. No. I think they won last week. So they're 1-2.
So they 1-1 since Mahomes been out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think they lost one with Matt Moore and one with Matt Moore. And then Mahomes come back and then they lose.
Yeah, because they lost to the Packers and they won against the Broncos. And then, yeah, they just.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't see them going far.
Not with their defense.
Yeah, right, Nate, right. You still see them making the playoffs.
They'll make the playoffs, but.
Because the AFC is not as thick as the NFC.
It could be argued that will they even win their division? Because Oakland
is on the come up.
John Gruden's got this team playing like. But Ken, I know you're saying that, but look at their record. Look at the expectations. We talked about expectations coming into the season for Baltimore. Like, look at we had it probably even worse for that. I thought we were going to be talking about them getting a lottery pick.
Yeah.
Now they're vying for a playoff seed.
I mean, I don't know. I still don't believe it.
Yeah, you still don't.
I still
believe
it. Don't believe it. Not. I mean, they beat Phillip Rivers. It's not hard to do. You know, and I thought the Chargers were about to go on their, you know.
In that game, who is the better quarterback, Philip or Derek?
Philip, yeah.
Usually if you got the better quarterback, you should win the game.
Yeah, but the Chargers haven't been playing good all year.
And they just came off of beating Green Bay last week. Smash Green Bay.
They were due any given Sunday. But only because of the play of the Chargers. And I think that that's a division game also. So that one could go either way. And the Chargers got some issues they need to deal with. They're talking about leaving the city again.
because nobody's going to these games.
Yeah.
You can't have all these teams in California. Nobody, like, when you got the beach, you got legalized marijuana, like, you got all these concerts and celebrities, like, it's really hard to it's not like you in St. Louis or you in Tennessee where it ain't shit but this.
Exactly.
This ain't no, they're a glamour state, period. Yeah.
But I'll commend them. I'll give them props for the record. 5-4. That's big. That's good. That's good. But winning the division.
I'm just saying, like, right now the Chiefs 6-4. I don't. Let me look at their standings. Yeah, the Chiefs are half a game out from the number one seed in the West. I mean, from top of the West in the AFC.
Plus, they have a tougher schedule anyway, based on their record last year. So, and then you don't expect to lose Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes need to get it together. I don't care what he did last week in terms of 404 yards and 440
what is he, yards. What are you asking of him that he hasn't already done?
Win that game.
I don't know.
You want to see Mahomes get them W's.
Hey, man, we're giving him all this praise, this props. He's turning into a light-skinned Aaron Rodgers.
I've said that. I said that earlier. I was like, the way people compared him to Aaron Rodgers earlier, I'm like, all right, that's not always a good thing because it just now took Aaron Rodgers this part of his career after that Super Bowl.
At least Aaron Rodgers got a Super Bowl. But Patrick hadn't even got one yet.
But – We all have said Rodgers should have had more. Should have been to the big dance a lot more than he should have. Than he was.
Not with the team that he's at and that defense he's at.
Yeah. Man, remember that one year he was, 15-0 or 15-1? And then they got bounced out, what was it, first or second round of the playoffs?
I don't remember. I have to look at that defense.
But it was just like that was – he's had multiple MVP cases as far as his season. And it's like, all right, this is where the Packers can make a run.
He hasn't had a good coach nor good teams. But either way – it is very reminiscent of Aaron Rodgers, one way or the other. But Aaron Rodgers did eventually win a Super Bowl. Will Patrick win one because he has all of the talent and the weapons but no defense? Who does that sound like? Sounds like Aaron Rodgers to me. And they got Andy Reid as the coach who's been to a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy, I think he won a Super Bowl, right? Was that his Super Bowl?
Yeah, that was the Super Bowl in 2010.
Yeah. Yep. So they might be similar, man.
I'll say this: the Chiefs got a hard road. They got the Chargers.
They should be on the road.
Up next, then they got at home the Raiders. Then they're on the road against New England, so it's at Foxborough.
Oh, they should beat the Raiders.
They got the Broncos, and then they got the last two games. They're at the Bears, and then they at home against the Chargers again.
They should win all those, maybe except the New England game. They should.
I would say the New England game and the Bears game is what I'm looking at. And even that Raiders game, because the Raiders played them tough early this year.
The only thing that worries me is the defense. But if Patrick Mahomes is that guy.
That's what you got to think about. It's not Patrick Mahomes against their quarterback. It's their defense.
You're not letting him off the hook. If he's that guy,
he's supposed to.
He got to win this. Hey, Belichick. I mean, Brady won games when his defense was terrible.
He has.
So, we're not going to start baking in these excuses for the brother.
All right. Talking about the young guys in the league, I was going to say, which team is more disappointing this season so far, the Jets or the Giants? As far as – because obviously they had their toilet bowl. That's what everybody called that game. I would say it's the Giants. Just for the fact that what happened to Saquon? Obviously, he's
overrated.
He's been dealing with an injury. Been dealing with an injury, so I'll give him that. He was out for three, and he really should have been coming back instead of coming back as early as he did. But I had higher expectations for Saquon this season. I knew Daniel was going to start eventually. I'm waiting for him to get that fumble shit taken care of because that literally cost him the game.
White Jameis Winston, he out there like that.
And then on top of that, Pat Shermer is supposed to come in hot off that, you know, NFC title game. Yeah, it was a title game, right?
Pat Shermer?
Yeah. When the Minnesota?
Oh, when he was coaching in Minnesota?
Yeah, with the Saints. Was that a divisional game?
How many wins Pat Shermer got? Like 10 when he came, when he was hired? Was it like 10?
Probably. It was pretty low.
He can't coach.
Yeah, it was pretty low.
So I don't know what you expected to get from him.
Everybody's telling me that this is an offensive coordinator, you know, era where all the offensive the OCs are getting head coaching jobs. I mean, you got Kyle Shanahan, you got Sean Payton, you got Sean McVay.
Kyle Shanahan got to a Super Bowl. Sean McVay's is just weird.
What you mean?
No, just because he's very obsessed with football, kind of like Belichick.
Well, because he grew up in it.
Yeah, so he's just weird. So his success isn't surprising, but look where he at. All these new guys, they ain't winning.
Matt Nagy had a good year.
Look at where he's at. The guy Patricia, look at where he's at. Like all these guys, they trying to bring in to win, and you know, and they haven't been succeeding. And Pat Shermer, he has. At least they took a chance on guys that don't have a record. They knew what Pat Shermer was, and that's the thing about it. Like we all knew he can coach. You didn't know about Matt Nagy or Patricia or McVay.
Yeah.
Or all these other guys. They were unknowns. They were young guys. So now you're learning about them, and here we are. But Pat, they could have if you're going to lose, take a chance with somebody that you don't know can coach. That's all I'm saying. But you know.
I was just saying, like, I need to see more. Like, I wanted to see more out of, like, the offensive play calling is not innovative. It's not interesting. It's very mundane and bland. And I don't even think he puts – I think Daniel Jones is a good QB or will be one, but I don't think he puts him in a good position as far as play calling to showcase that. Like,
okay, so what was
– early on him. The jury's still out on Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
I think he has the intangibles to be a really good franchise QB.
Yeah.
Oh, Daniel. But what was – Pat Shermer's role in Minnesota? Because I remember
he was the offensive coordinator.
So he took over for
North Turner, I believe.
DeFilippo.
All I remember was North Turner was there with Teddy, and then he left. I thought he came in right after that.
Pat's second year coaching the Giants?
Yeah.
So he was there 2 years ago when Minnesota went to the playoffs.
Title. Was that the year they went to the NFC title?
Was that the title game when Diggs had that catch over?
No, that was the game before the title NFC title game because that got them to the NFC title.
Yeah, because that
and they lost.
Yeah,
teams typically try to pluck away from winning organizations. We saw it was successful with Frank Reich when they went and got him from Philly. My thing again is just Pat Shermer, like, and I'm not one to always harp on the record. My thing is like. I am in this case because I think there are some young guys. You always mentioned a guy in Kansas City. The guy that took over from Minnesota as the OC that people thought was going to get hired should have got a chance. Let's just get rid of these old guys, man. It's just like looking in politics and Congress. Get them old motherfuckers out of here.
Get some young bloods in.
So, but they keep recycling the guys. So, I don't know.
But with the Jets, I think –
I'm going to say the Jets.
You're going to say the Jets why?
I'm going to say the Jets. Only because.
Because of Ty Bowles?
No. Nah, because they did my man dirty. And I'm glad, and I'm enjoying everything they're getting this year. But it was Sam Darnold's second year. They brought in Adam Gase, the QB whisperer, to open up the offense. So maybe a little bit because of Ty Bowles, because he was a defensive coach. And Adam Gase was supposed to come in and, you know, take Sam Darnold to the next level. They got Le'Veon Bell. And what do we get? Like, we got nothing. Daniel Jones, you at least knew, like you said, at some point he was going to start. He's still a rookie at the end of the day, so you have to temper your expectations. I don't care how good Saquon is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's not throwing that ball. And they had average talent, you know, in the receiver position.
Yeah, because they pretty much gutted the whole receiving core after that OBJ trade.
So we couldn't really expect much. And then they got rid of OBJ.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with Adam Gase, he was supposed to come in, and he was supposed to, like, take them, at least get that 500, and they look terrible.
Yeah, man, Sam Darnold, they're seeing ghosts. You know what I'm saying?
And that's
be out there seeing ghosts. Yeah,
you can't be out there seeing ghosts.
Every time I think of him, I think of what was it? Mos Def saying, "Can't see ghosts." Sometimes I always think that, of
that could very that could haunt him.
Yeah.
That like, so that is that his butt fumble? That's gonna be where we recognize him. Like we always gonna bring that up. Like the same way we did with
Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. Play well. He has to take the next step, and he hasn't. Baker's getting a lot of criticism, but Sam looks like trash too. He's turning a ball over at a high rate, you know. And when I look at him and Josh Rosen already been benched, this QB class that everybody was so high on.
This QB class is ass outside of Lamar.
People were so high on Rosen and Sam Darnold.
They were trying to make it seem like it was that one QB draft class, like with, I guess, with like Eli and Rivers.
Peyton Eli Rivers, yeah.
And then, or that the one with Dan Marino was in. I think that was a good QB draft class as well.
That was John Elway and Marino.
Yes. Ooh, they were trying to compare it to that. I was like, it did sound good at the time, but as you see the results, it's like,
Sam had a couple of good moments in that game, but again, you have to take it. I mean, the Giants' defense isn't that good. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you're under pressure? And, you know, so I don't know. I think the Jets, because they
– their future is a little bit more murky than the Giants.
It was supposed to be – this was supposed to be a step forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, it was supposed to be a step forward, and it wasn't.
Speaking of coaching, you were talking about the coaching carousel earlier as far as where people have landed. Does the Dolphins winning against the Colts, does that keep Brian? Bro, I feel like Brian Flores he's on a little run right now. Has he done enough to be like, okay, this can be our guy for at least the next couple seasons?
I think Kyle may have pointed this out, that they already said that he's not going anywhere. You can't trust them.
He as in Cam not going anywhere?
Brian Flores. Oh. So they said that they're not tanking, but Brian Flores' job isn't in jeopardy based on the results of this season. But it was good. But he beat Brian Hoyer.
He still beat him with Fitzpatrick as his QB.
And Fitzpatrick wasn't that great, but you're supposed to beat Brian Hoyer, man. The guy's like 50. And didn't I tell you don't pick him up? And Matt Mike said to play Matt Ryan.
I played Matt Ryan.
I know you did. Yeah. I know you did. Yeah. I had to pick up Brian Hoyer. I still went 3-0 this week, but I'm trying to get in the playoffs, man.
I'm trying. I had a little streak, and that shit got snapped this week.
Hey, man.
It dropped me down to that. In one of the leagues, I'm down to the eighth spot. I'm like, God damn, I'm barely making the playoffs.
Man, when I saw Brian Hoyer threw one touchdown and three picks against the Dolphins, I'm like, Jesus Christ. And you know, I almost picked up Trubisky, who threw three touchdowns. I'm like, Jesus, man. But to you, I think every win helps. Everything, I think, because they'll maybe look at those wins and think, okay, what if we do give him some real talent and that we actually are trying to win, you know, based on his schemes, based on his ability to motivate the troops. Is he the guy that we want to, you know, hitch our
– is quarterback their main concern going into this offseason?
Yep. Which is weird because they got Josh Rosen. And
that's
I don't
what
understand
I was, that's
that.
Why I'm wondering, because for me it's like –
they traded for him, right?
Yeah, they did. They traded some peanuts for him. But I will say this. If they draft a QB, then I think he stays for at least 2-3 years. If they don't, then that says a lot to me.
Well, they'll have to draft a QB because they're not losing these games for no reason. And they got all these picks. I think, especially if they're not playing Josh Rosen too. That's the sign for me that they're looking in the draft. And I don't know why they don't want to play Josh Rosen. Like
he must have done something where nobody – because everybody keep bringing up the fact that when he came out of that draft class, he was saying like, oh, there's like 9 other teams that made a mistake or whatever. And I didn't take that to mean much, but like everybody keeps bringing that up. Like he came in cocky as hell. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, NFL owners and GMs, they don't like players who come from money. Because that means that they question their love for the game,
right.
And they said he was too smart. It was weird how they were dissecting him.
They picked him apart, yeah, they did. But if you can't start off Fitzpatrick, like, what are you doing? But I haven't seen any negative stories.
That's what
about
I'm saying. And even when he got traded, he was like, "Thanks for Arizona for all they did." And he's saying all the right shit. He got the PR team working.
Not saying shit even when he got benched in Miami. You know, this would be the perfect year to find out what they got. But it feels like Flores is trying to win games, so that's why he went with the veteran. At some point, Fitzpatrick's going to come out of there. They're going to have to play Josh Rosen. Even if it's for the last four games of the year, they need to know.
They need sample size. Is golf a bust, or is this just a Super Bowl hangover? Because I don't want to say he's a bust.
I don't want to say he's a bust.
Super Bowl hangover. We've seen it before.
That's what I'm saying.
But can he bounce back from that's the Super Bowl hangover, though?
And they
we've seen QBs and players or teams that make it to Super Bowl, and then they just don't quite bounce back.
Yeah. I was going to say
Cam Newton right now is a prime example of that shit.
When FIFO brought this up when we was playing Madden, he was like, man, I was playing Madden with the Rams playbook, and they really only got three types of, like, formations, and that's what they run their whole offense from. I'm like, bro, that's just probably the game. Mm-hmm. I was watching Red Zone, right? And and it was the 4 o'clock game, I believe. So it was like going back and forth on like three games. I was looking at their formations and the disguises they do, will have all these people going in motion and shit, and they'll just run the ball up the gut. They did that like at least eight times. Mm-hmm. It got to the point where it was like, oh yeah, when I see them doing this disguise and shit, they about to just run the ball up the middle, and they did it. And I'm like, how can you be like Sean McVay? Like, you can't game plan out of that second half. You can't.
You
can't throw the ball down. Like, the Steelers locked down. Cooper Kupp was like, he was not to be seen. They put it like he should have been on a milk carton. Like, you couldn't find him. Like, they every time they tried to go to him, he only had four targets because they was blanking him. And every time they went to him, they would bat it down. Damn near be a pick. What happened to this offense? What happened to this deep? Where's Aaron Donald at? At this point, I'm questioning everybody.
Yeah, I
feel like I'm sounding like him.
Remember, he was and Khalil Mack was like the
best players in the league.
1A, 1B defensive players.
And I'm like, you know? What is going on with this? And again, that's why I'm like, hold on, let me step back. Is this the Super Bowl hangover? Is this like, all right, we got drunk off success after the last three seasons? You know what I'm saying? Like, the first season, Sean McVay take you 11 games.
And the way that they were running up the score last year on folks.
That Chiefs game with them was like, that was 100 points. Yeah.
B, you know
combined.
The problem.
What's the problem?
You know one of the main problems.
Which is the main problem?
Gurley.
Oh yeah, of course. Something is not right with Gurley.
So draft a running back,
they got DJ Henderson, or they got Malcolm Brown,
or can you because of the paycheck?
Man, something is wrong with Gurley.
He got arthritis in his knee. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that ain't going nowhere.
Right, I'm saying that's one point right there because you got to run the ball.
Offense was built around.
Yep, it was built around him. That's why the success of the receivers was so noticeable last year because of Gurley.
Why did they not get into the Kareem Hunt sweepstakes when he was available?
They didn't want those problems.
Yeah.
Some organizations don't.
Yeah, some of them teams was like, oh, no, I don't stay away from that nigger.
That's why they drafted that Henderson guy.
Henderson ain't shit either, though.
They haven't given him a shot.
But that's why they drafted him, though, because they would stand away from Kareem Hunt.
And he might not be shit because, I mean – if they draft you, you're supposed to at least touch the field. Like Rashard Penny in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a first-round draft pick, and he can't even touch the field. He got two carries, and he fumbled. They don't like him. Chris Carson is the guy that's getting the run.
Chris Carson be fumbling, too, so I don't even know why they like him.
But Gurley is the problem. But, look. I'm glad y'all need to listen to me, man. All
right, that's
what I tried to tell y'all about Aaron Donald. I called out Aaron Donald. I was like, man.
I'm just saying what happened. I'm not really saying like these are busts and these players ain't shit and they overrated. I'm just saying like what the hell happened.
You think it was a fluke, pretty much.
The league caught up with them.
Right.
So I think that's one. But I think that's two. Mm-hmm. Number one is Gurley. That offense was built around Gurley. Gurley was the engine that made that car run.
He was.
And now that he's no longer a factor, they're struggling, and it made golf look better than what he actually was.
Right, because when you got somebody like Gurley you can just hand the ball off to and do your light work, guess what? It's going to take a lot. Any QB with like a superb running game, it's going to take the load off of them easily. It's going to make them look a little better.
Yep, but here's what I want to see. Because they were in love with Sean McVay.
They was. Remember? Ooh, they were so in love with him last year. Oh,
half the damn league got a job because of Sean McVay.
If he beat Bill Belichick, they were ready. They were ready to put him on that panel, boy.
Where's ass at now? Where's the criticism of him? This team is pretty much coming back intact with a banged up Gurley, but if he's supposed to be so great,
Because they was labeling him, they were giving him the football genius label and everything.
And you got Jalen Ramsey.
Yep. You're not supposed to be, what, 5-4? You're not supposed to lose to a Steelers team with a backup.
With a backup QB.
Everybody is a backup on that damn team.
And you lost? You can muster up more than 12 points? Nah. But I tried to also tell you that he won top 10. And you even went as far to put him in your 8.
Who, Goff?
He had an MVP year that year. He was the same shit about Carson Wentz that we bring up. That he was an MVP candidate. He was an MVP candidate at that point.
At least we saw it with Carson Wentz. But anyway.
He went to the Super Bowl. Carson didn't do shit. He didn't even play the playoffs. But I digress. I think that this is a Super Bowl hangover. But I will say that moving forward, they have to change that offense. Like, if they keep on – if they don't expand the playbook, if Sean McVay doesn't come back with a whole new scheme, even towards the end of the season, like, how do you end the season?
He should already have one.
Because you can still salvage the season. Again, even though he's in a tough division, obviously we talked earlier about the NFC West, he still should be that – he should be fighting with Seattle.
Right.
Y'all playing the same games. They're 7-2 well, they're 7-2 and you what 5-5
You're
five
losing the division to Jimmy G, a quarterback that and Kyle Shanahan, a quarterback that hasn't played in a year. Like what? And you're the Super Bowl runner up. What the hell?
Right.
You the NFC champs.
With the what? He was a number 1 draft pick. And that's all you can do? And you're losing the division? Come on. What the hell are you doing? Mm-mm. Didn't the 49ers whoop the Steelers' ass?
That game went – that was the game where the Steelers had a lot of picks.
But they won. They beat them.
They beat them, yeah.
And then the Rams go up there and lose. Mm-mm.
Who are you more impressed with? Cousins with the win or Dak with the loss?
Neither. Dalvin Cook.
All right, you gonna pick the C option?
Hey, when I saw some of those runs and some of those cuts,
that
boy was looking nice. Yeah,
now that's looking like a top five back.
He healthy now.
Yeah.
Somebody said it takes about a year, right?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be 2 years after that injury.
Yeah, he was making some cuts and some jumps and stuff, some starts and stops. I was like, okay, that's what Zeke's supposed to be looking like. But
what's wrong with Zeke? Is it that
Kellen
money?
Kellen Moore and Jason Garrett.
That's what I was. Is it the money? I think it's the money, man.
He got his money.
It's not
sometimes
the money.
When players get their money, sometimes they regress back a little bit.
I think it's the coaching.
Skip said he had a funny joke. He was like, Zeke is running like he's still in Cabo, running on the sand. Like
it seems like it's the culture, man. I think it's the culture.
I think he got his money and got fat.
I think that's the easiest thing we can look at.
Because it's happened before, though.
Yeah.
He did hold out.
Correlation does not equal – wait, causation? What, you know what I'm saying. Correlation does not equal causation.
But, look, he didn't come in with the training camp. Like, he came in holding out. He literally started the first game of the week. And even though he's had some good games, I'm not going to say, he's been a bust or anything, but he's not top five. He's top 10. But this season, statistically, he's not top five.
Yeah, man, that shit takes a toll. Whenever you're not in training camp, I mean, you don't have to play all the preseason games, but if you're not in training camp getting some
football
reps
shape,
top five now then?
Running backs?
Not in order. I would say definitely the first
Cook,
two is Chris.
McCaffrey. Yeah, Cook and McCaffrey.
Okay, easy. Okay.
Who brought a running back? Would you say Mixon? No.
No, hell no. Mm-hmm. Hell no.
I'm just thinking of running backs.
Mark Ingram. I would say he's a top five right back right now. The top way he's five. Been running?
Mm-mm-mm.
Let's look at something. He's going to come up with names. I'm about to look at some stats.
He's a good running back, but nah. I think he's still somewhat dependent. I like him, though. I like him a lot. I always felt he was underutilized.
All right, so here are the top five rushers as far as yards for running backs.
Okay.
Dalvin Cook is number one with 991. McCaffrey is number two at 989. Nick Chubb, 919.
Okay.
Chris Carson, 853.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to say his name, but I knew he was probably up there.
Derrick Henry at fifth at 832.
Okay, he's in.
And then at sixth, Fournette, Jacksonville. He got 831.
Top five. He has the talent.
Yeah.
Chris Carson by volume. So
I'm not putting them as these are the top five best backs in the league. I'm saying right now these are the top five backs. And Zeke is number seven on that list probably.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm kind of doing it by both.
He's eight yards.
I'm kind of doing it by both. Because I think I'm factoring in the offense. Because Chris Carson, how many attempts Chris Carson has?
He probably get like 20 at least a game.
And I don't think they feed Zeke enough.
I was looking at touchdowns now.
Shit, they fed him at the end of the game.
Chris Carson has 200 attempts. He has the second. He got the second most attempts in the league.
And what, third or fourth in yards?
Yeah, they ran.
Cook got the most attempts with 203. Carson is second with 200. McCaffrey got 185. Derrick Henry got 187. Ezekiel Elliott got 178.
So he's fifth
in attempts,
or fifth or fourth?
He's
so he's right below.
He's fifth in attempts.
Okay, well,
and he's eighth in yards.
And out of those offensive lines, they got the best one out of that list.
Yeah,
so they say. Okay, well, that's not good.
Yeah, man.
You only got, what, 47 yards? Because
you're getting the attempts, but you're eighth in yards. So you're not – your yards per attempt are definitely not matching up.
Man, running backs are really thin now, man. I remember running backs used to be so deep back in the day.
Yeah, because
Well, that's because most of the times they split in carries between at least two backs now.
Because that means Nick Chubb is making more explosive plays than Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, yeah.
I still think coaching has something to do with it, but he doesn't.
Well, shit, Moore is better than Kitchens. So, but
he doesn't look the same. There is definitely something going on, but just the game script sometimes just look bad. But
why did you said neither though? As far as Dak and Cousins, why?
Because I mean, we know who Cousins is. Dak had a good game, but I still think for whatever reason he's dependent on Zeke. And he still couldn't win that game. And I think that was a throw he couldn't connect on, like late to win it.
That was a bad play. That was a bad play call, though. I won't say that was Dak. It was just like, all right, Dak literally threw the ball all the way down to the, 11, the red zone. They were in, like, within the 15-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just run the ball twice when Zeke has not been effective running the ball at all that whole game.
Yeah.
And then on the fourth down, your option is to go to Zeke in the flat with Kendricks on him. I believe. Like, come on, like you should have. You keep going, like Zeke. Like,
were they stacking the box against Zeke?
Somewhat, but they would have to, because that's how Dak was getting off those throws.
I think that's the game plan. I think teams come in and say, we're going to stop Zeke. We're going to make Dak beat
but
you.
Dak was – he was throwing – I've never seen Dak – that was probably the best game I've seen Dak as a mature quarterback.
From what it sounds like, and I should have watched the long highlights for this, it sounds like if he was dealing like that, and based on the box score, it looks like he was, then he should have gotten two opportunities.
Like, him and Amari have a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, they
like
do.
Amari had two great toe-tapping catches.
Because even if he couldn't make the pass, he could have – if they're at the 11, he probably could have ran forward or something like that.
Because it was like fourth and three or fourth
and
two.
But again, I'm back to coaching. But so whether it's coaching with Zeke or whether it's coaching with end-of-the-game decision-making, it would have sounded like – it's bad. This guy – they're 5-4 with all that talent. The Eagles.
My thing is,
they have way more talent than the Eagles.
Did they pay people too early? Because you didn't have to pay Zeke this year.
I don't think
you didn't have to pay. I think DeMarcus Lawrence was up, but you didn't have to pay him that much. You had to pay. I don't think you even had to pay Jalen Smith this year.
I think you need stability. I don't think they paid him too early, but I think
I'm talking about the collection of players that they paid.
No, I got you.
Those are all the issues. What happened to that defense? What's up with that front four? Y'all balled out against the Eagles. And now you can't get no pass rush really on Kirk Cousins.
But if the talent is still there and they're underachieving, can we really look at the talent and say, like, I think at some point we have to look at.
Are you talking about Garrett or?
Yep. Kellen Moore, people have been, even myself, have been ranting and raving about Kellen Moore. What's the constant? The constant is Garrett. And so they, and basically what Jerry is saying is, we're going to create a stable environment with this roster. This is what you have. These are your ingredients. Now, what are you going to make? Because right now, this restaurant that I got, I don't have a lot of customers. They coming in here and they walking out because they don't like what you – well, shit, they might like what they're getting on the meal because they're walking out with.
You saying they got the best produce, but they got a shitty cook?
Mm-hmm. So I don't think – because you got to lock up the talent, but now I think at some point Jerry's gonna have to be like, all right.
But then why isn't Dak being compensated when you paid all these players, and Dak's doing the most on the worst contract in the NFL right now.
He is, and one misstep, and it's over. That's the thing that scares me, and I wish Jerry Jones would pay that brother an ACL.
As in Dak.
It could be like Isaiah anything. Thomas with Boston.
Yep. And that's why I hate that he's not paying that man. That man deserves to be paid. You know, my issue has never – my debate with you has never been about whether or not he's been paid. It's about his position in the NFL. But that man – and I'm just afraid, man. I'm afraid that that's something that's going to happen. And he's not going to pay him.
And to see his progression as a QB, if you don't believe in him now, then you never will believe in him.
He'll win
and
games.
You might as well trade and get some picks out of it because you already gave up your pick last year to get Amari Cooper.
And after what Jamal Adams did to
Daniel Jones,
they should have paid. They should have made that draft. They should have.
They said they talked to. They said they tried. I don't know how much. I don't know what that means.
They should have gave her that third pick that FIFO came back and reported. That was the thing. The Jets wanted the third. And Dallas wouldn't give it up. They wanted to give a fourth.
Yep.
That man snatched the ball out of Daniel Jones' hands and ran for a touchdown. We saw what happened in Pittsburgh with Minkah Fitzpatrick. It's worth it.
Jamal Adams may be the best safety in the football right now.
Probably, yeah. It's worth it, man. We saw with the impact of Jalen Ramsey. And like, these draft picks are more bust. I've always seen more bust.
I would say you go for players over picks.
Yeah.
Because those are the proven commodities.
Yep. Yep. So.
Picks can be anything.
Yep.
But I think it's one of my last questions. Are the Packers looking sloppy as the season is coming to an end?
A long season, I think. I think
they just got a good wake up call. I mean, I think it's one of those situations.
They bounce back though.
Yeah. I think it's one of those situations in NFL. Sometimes you get caught slipping.
They definitely got caught slipping by the Chargers.
Yeah.
And then this Panthers game, it came literally down to like, is McCaffrey going to get through or not?
Right.
And they barely – and that was a questionable, did he get in or not?
Right.
So that could have been two games losses, and you're trying to get – again, this NFC is probably the best
it's ever been
in a while. So you can't just keep getting these losses or, like, making these games that interesting, especially at home. They were at Lambeau.
We're getting down to nitty-gritty of the season now. You know, it's about to start getting cold. So, yeah, it's just sometimes you're going to kind of – you know, teams are wearing down a little bit.
Yep.
You know, it's just natural. It's just the natural progression of a football season. You know what I'm saying?
And you got to be able to win games like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was at the one-yard line.
Yeah, he was the one-yard line.
They drove down the field.
Yes.
Like, with Kyle Allen, they drove, and it was like one-yard line. And I was watching that game closely because one of my homies, I was playing
didn't
the fantasy.
Get in?
It was a good defensive stop on the Packers.
It was just, yeah, they just – it was –
the MVP
he got close.
The MVP runner contender couldn't get in?
Well, they were trying to throw it first because they only had like – it was very short amount of time for them to get down to – because they had to score to win.
Yeah, I have to go watch it.
So
I'm speaking off ignorance. But.
Yeah. Now, I was watching that game because I could have lost my fantasy in my other league because of that damn touchdown.
But, I think B said it best. Wear and tear of the season. These games are tough. The Panthers are a tough team defensively. I think the biggest takeaway is the fact that they won and managed to actually get that stop.
Yeah.
The old Packer team wouldn't have done it. I think I wanted to see how they respond to losing a game like that, that wake-up call
right. That
Aaron Rodgers mentioned last week. And they got back on the winning side of things. They made it interesting, but at least they won. Now, loss. Woo.
And would have been. That, yeah, a lot. He would have been bitching at the loss because he did not throw a touchdown in that game. They
Aaron
literally
Rodgers.
Ran up the gut.
And I played against Aaron Jones. I was mad about that.
I was happy because I was playing against Aaron Rodgers. he would get all the way down the field. He would throw it, and it was just like red zone. Not give it to Adam.
But I think that's good, though. I think I know he didn't put up the numbers. He's had his moments where he's had to. So he can't be mad about that. But you need a running game. They're going to need that running game for the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's true.
To close out the football talk, Cap just tweeted something as we recording this today about let me get a verbatim. I don't even want to paraphrase.
That and didn't even really. I still don't know what it means.
Yeah, I don't know what it means. No, I mean, ain't nothing to get excited about.
He tweeted, "I'm just getting word from my representatives that the NFL league office reached out to them about a workout in Atlanta on Saturday. I've been in shape and ready for this for 3 years. Can't wait to see the head coaches and GMs on Saturday." That's this upcoming Saturday.
Oh, okay. So they reached out to his people. And he didn't reach out to them. So that makes it a lot more interesting. and a lot more.
But I mean, his people represent him, so, and he's been doing them workout videos and had a whole time clock that said that's how many times
they made him pay for it. I guess my question is, who needs a quarterback? Like, why now? What is this for? What are they up to?
I feel like they throw every time we mention that Chicago comes up, and will Chicago take? I don't know, with that city and its close ties to
Obama.
I was gonna say the I think, don't they have good military? Don't they do a lot of Chicago's good with the military?
I have no idea.
I don't know if that culture of that city yet. I'm not from Chicago, so speak on it. But I don't see Matt Nagy. Well, he could work with Pat with Colin.
He better try to work with somebody to save his job.
He got
to
save his job. But Colin saying he's in shape, that doesn't mean much to me, because every football player who holds out or hasn't been in the league a while says, I've been in quote-unquote football shape.
Yeah, it's different.
And that's different. So we'll see what that is, but I'm not expecting much out of it. My main question was, why do you want to go back to a league that you sued? Why do you want to go back to a job that you said you that disrespected you so much that you called racism?
Because he loves playing football.
Well, you could play in the, Canadian Football League. That's football, ain't it?
I get it, man. That's something he loves to do. Like, to play football and to play at a professional level requires an insane level of dedication. And to sacrifice pretty much your whole life to get it taken away for something like that, especially when you got Kenny Stills still out there kneeling and other players still doing stuff. I think it's very mature of the league to finally get over themselves. If this is indeed true, we'll hear all of the reports in the coming days. But I think I'm glad to see that they may finally be getting over themselves. Let this man come back in. Let this man play. Let's move on and move forward and, take a step in the right direction. So I don't know. I'm like you. I'm wait and see. I'm not happy. I'm not excited. I'm just like, okay. I'm more suspicious. What are y'all up to? What are y'all up to?
Yeah, I am too.
They up to no good. But the settlement's over, so it can't be that.
Yeah. So he got over that because he settled. My main thing is, like, if he come back and he is ass, like, it's gonna be.
And he might be.
He might be. But I'm sure people are gonna give him a leash. Like, all right, this is his first time back. Give him a whole season. But if he showed, because obviously right now he's not anything new and spectacular like how he was when he left. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's either caught up or surpassed him now, either throwing or running.
Hell, he wasn't that good when after that Super Bowl.
He wasn't.
So,
but the Niners did dismantle most of that team, and most of them retired as well. So that team.
Man, me and FIFA used to argue all the time about Cap. I was like, man, Cap is not that dude you think he is. And then he finally, gave up.
But we'll see. I mean, I hope he gets an opportunity to see what he can do. But
it may not necessarily be about this year. It could be next year, right? So maybe he can come in, maybe play a game or two. Maybe everybody say, all right, we see that you can still be a backup. And, he will get a job and he get back to doing what he's loving. He just waits for an opportunity. We saw what happened with Teddy Bridgewater. He came in and he started to perform. He performed at a high level and people wrote him off. So, and in that first game, he looked like he was done. But then he managed to win some games. So, we'll see. He'll be better than Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield.
Well, I hope so, yeah. Gotta be. Can't get much worse than that. Y'all ain't got anything left for football?
Mm-mm. I don't.
We could talk about college football. Did you catch that game or the highlights of the game?
I watched it on YouTube today. It's always a good day when Alabama loses.
Watch, they still find a way to get in the playoffs, though.
They number four right now, ain't they?
Yep.
They don't. How the hell
is
did
that?
Drop
wait. Is that the committee's pick or? Because I know
they got two different ones.
Yeah, the AP and the coaches poll. They are number four, which is some BS.
But the college one is the one you want to know.
Yeah, like the ones that make the final selection for the Final Four.
Well, okay, so the college playoff rankings right now is LSU at one, Ohio State at two, Clemson at three, Georgia at four,
okay,
Alabama at five.
That's sounds about right.
I thought
that's the college playoff rankings.
So now that
the AP, they four. Atlanta Bama's
four. They go by the AP though, don't they?
Nah.
For the college playoff, they got the college playoff rankings.
Yeah, that's the committee.
Like this what I just said is if the playoffs start today, that's your top four is LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia.
And it's a setup.
Because Georgia's going to lose.
Because Georgia will probably lose the SEC game.
Yeah. To LSU.
Yeah. And that's how and Alabama, what their schedule is probably cupcakes.
They got Auburn. I mean, you know, that game is always tough because it's like a rival. Throw the record out the window.
Yeah.
Other than that, they play a cup. They always play a cupcake team before they play Auburn. Like, I'm talking about super cupcake. Like, somebody they're going to blow up by 60.
Mm.
You want to look at their schedule? I can tell you
the
schedule.
Yeah, what's the schedule? What's the rest of the games for Alabama?
For Alabama, they play Mississippi State, win. They play Western Carolina. That's what they play. That's going to be the blowout game. And then they play Auburn. They finish the season out with Auburn, at Auburn.
Yeah, the ones you're watching, you're going to watch the ones that are below it that have those conference championship games. And Alabama's weak schedule could keep them out if those teams only have one loss and win their championship. You could look at Georgia beating LSU, and with them beating four top 10 teams, there's no way they're falling out.
Yeah, no, they won't.
So they'll get in.
But if Georgia beat LSU, that
you have 2 1-loss teams.
Georgia would be the winner of the SEC championship, mm-hmm. which means they automatically got to get in. LSU mm-hmm. beat Alabama, so why would you put Alabama over LSU?
And Ohio State went out. And
Clemson went out.
Clemson went out. They're going to get in.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I read a couple of different scenarios, and most of them seem unlikely that they'll get in.
But
let me throw this scenario out. What if Minnesota beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game?
Watched that Minnesota.
Minnesota's still undefeated.
I watched that Minnesota-Penn State game. I did not know Minnesota was that good because – they bullied Penn State.
Yeah.
I told y'all in the chat Penn State shouldn't have been that high.
But, yeah. I mean, shit, from I'm thinking like, okay, this is the best game on for at the time it was on. And Minnesota was just dogging them. And I'm like, damn, I really want to see. Have they played Ohio State yet? Have they played
Minnesota?
If they don't play Ohio State, it won't be into the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah. Penn State.
They're both in two different divisions in the Big Ten.
Because Ohio State still got a matchup with Penn State and, I think, the Wolverines.
Yeah.
So they can lose. Though.
Yeah, they can possibly lose to Penn State.
Yeah, they can lose
Penn
either
State.
One of those.
Penn State does play them best.
It's at home, though. Ohio State plays great at home. So
they
both,
do.
Both they games?
They play Michigan at Michigan.
Okay.
But Penn State only has one loss, right?
Yep.
So that would be a big win. So that'll help them out.
That would help Alabama. If
I don't think Ohio State would drop down if Penn State beats Ohio State.
Really?
But they will put a one loss Saban team before they put a one loss Ohio State team.
See the logic.
I can see that.
Ryan Day ain't what's his name?
Urban Meyer ain't there no more.
But they have something that they call a game flow. I think it's like control of the game. Like how? Like are you? I really don't know what it means. But from what it sounds like, is are you really in control of the game and dominating? Like for instance, if LSU would have went on to dominate the game, that's game flow, game control, or whatever. The fact that they lost control of that game and had to hold on and make big plays.
It was like, did the time just run out, or did you actually win?
Right.
Yeah, I think Alabama, they're going to find a way to squeeze them in.
They're going to get in at four.
You can't. They cannot repeat the mistakes.
I guarantee there's
going to
be multiple one-loss teams in the top five, maybe top six.
Alabama's schedule is so bad, though.
I understand that, but the brand is so strong. And that LSU game was really good. People go for ratings over – and, they'll go for ratings
over
all this
shit. But here's the talking point a lot of people are throwing out. They're talking about that 9-6 LSU win over Alabama and then the rematch.
29-zip?
Yeah. So I don't think they want to repeat that.
And also some people said that going with that whole Belichick lost on purpose thing – not saying that Saban lost on purpose, but that seemed like people were saying like LSU's best, like that was their best game.
And it wasn't.
You don't think so?
Nope. I've been watching this kid Burrow. That kid can play. He was, remember, I don't know if you noticed, but he was supposed to play in Ohio State.
Yeah, because Ohio State got all the good quarterbacks recently.
He has the talent. He's the one thing that LSU hasn't had. And that's a quarterback.
And I would love to see LSU versus Ohio State for the championship.
And I've just been kind of just watching, like, man, this kid can really play. And most of the time when I latch on to a kid in college, Like I latched on to Winston, Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, and Haskins. Burrow's the one. I never was a believer in Mariota like that. I thought his offense carried him. But Burrow, man, there's something about him, man. Like, he looks professional.
His post-game interview, he was like, he was with his the running back number 22. They was like together. You could tell they had like a brotherhood, a friendship. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, he's so happy that he made that transfer to LSU, because a lot of people were questioning, like, why are you going to LSU mm-hmm. if you're a quarterback? Which doesn't make sense to me, because I'm like, right. It's a big program. Why would I not? But he took a chance.
Because LSU typically don't have good quarterbacks in their offense. When Les Miles was there, wasn't very QB friendly.
And they got the offensive coordinator
Oregon or something
from the Saints. Yeah, he's like he came from the Saints, so that's why he was like, this offense is like.
And they were showing like the comparison between the receivers this year to Alabama, mm-hmm. it was identical.
Yeah,
that's all the quarterbacks.
Because Alabama's got three receivers that's going probably in the first round.
Yep. Because remember LSU had OBJ and Landry, and we mm-hmm. didn't see any of what they could do until they got to the NFL. I mean, you saw some highlights here and there, but they didn't have a quarterback that can throw them a game. This kid was poised. He made big throws. He made big runs. He didn't panic. He didn't get too ahead of himself. He played well. I give Tua a lot of props for his comeback. But there were times in the game he looked defeated.
Tua looked. I don't. He lost a lot of draft stock this season.
I think he. At times, I do think he is because I think he's. Brittle.
And I think even if he won that game, he still lost draft stock.
I think Kyler is going to save him. I think Kyler Murray is saving him because Kyler looks good.
But that's only off at a shotgun, right? He only can do shotgun.
All you have to do is find the right pairing. And if that's what they do, then it can work out. So I think – and we know he got the arm talent.
He has the yep. talent and intangibles. Yep. But some of that – like, he gets skittish if there's not a clean pocket.
He does. And
I called that out after that championship game they lost. I was like, man, I haven't seen him like that ever.
I saw it last year, too. I was like, uh-uh. He got the talent, but, you know, he gets happy feet. Like Jimmy G.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about Jimmy G, but Jimmy G had happy feet.
Jimmy G was trying to give that game up.
Jimmy G, not trying to. He did give it away.
Man, he should have had like seven picks.
And that sack fumble, props to Clowney. Because in the first half, Jimmy was looking all right. I was like, oh, look, what happened?
They threw
to
up
Jimmy?
10 points early.
Yeah, and then he fumbled, and then the game got close. And then what Kyle said in the chat about Kyle Shanahan, like, I think he called three pass plays when he should have ran the ball.
And
that left time on the clock for them to lose the game.
For OT.
He did the same shit again.
It's like, how do you not run the ball when you have a minute? They had like a minute 50 left or something like that. And you can end the game in a tie. Regardless of how it's going to end, it will not hurt you.
Right.
If you just keep running this ball. Because they had no timeouts left.
And you called three pass plays with Tevin Coleman who could pop one.
And then they gave up, what, 25 seconds on the clock? So you give Russell Wilson and Seattle Seahawks $125 to go down the field and score.
So Jimmy, this, I mean, you know, and we talked about last episode about our prediction. So the loss isn't that much of a shocker because I expect them to lose games. You're not going to go undefeated anyway. Jimmy G still, but when I saw that 2 minute drive,
He did lose Sanders and he didn't have Kittle.
So I'm
gonna shoot him some bail with that. But outside of that, he ain't getting shit.
That was I did consider that because of how good he looked when he had Sanders. But when that pressure was coming, man,
he was just throwing it.
He was doing that Dak dance. He was doing that Dak dance in the pocket.
Oh yeah,
that's what he was doing.
Hey, I'm gonna do that in the club one of these days.
But in the first half, I mean, he was climbing in the pocket. He looked. He made his reads, and maybe they changed up the defense on him. I didn't read much after the game, but it's a learning experience, mm-hmm. and we'll see. But if when the lights get bright, and that's how he's gonna play. I put it this way. When the lights get bright and that's how both of them are going to perform, it's not going to be good look. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, and then you got, you know, Justin
Herbert.
You can't
coach the game away like that.
You got all these. This is supposed to be another good QB draft class, like at least three, four of them coming out.
They'll still keep Jimmy, but my thing is that you're only going to go so far. And when you're Kyle Shanahan – it's one thing, like, we're giving Kyle the props. But now we saw what you did in the Super Bowl. And here's a regular season game that matters. And like you said, a tie doesn't hurt you. And you call – you do the same thing that cost you the Super Bowl.
What is it? Same shit, different day?
Man. It's like – three pass play. And you saw
my only thing,
your quarterback just threw two damn interceptions.
My only thing is, you know, the other team has no timeouts. They, you can run, you can do three kneels and tie, yeah. Or you can just keep running and
that's terrible
trying to
coaching,
get to a
man.
Field goal.
That's terrible coaching. You know, but he knows better, and you know you have to coach around Jimmy. You know he's not all the way there yet. He hasn't played, like, this is his first full season, so you can't be doing that. That's, he fucked that one up. He fucked that one up. They both did. They both did. And if I'm a 49ers fan, I'm concerned. On the flip side, you were like, "Hey, we almost won it," but shit, you lost it a couple of times.
You should that should have been a blowout game.
Two fumble losses by Jimmy.
That should have been a blowout game.
Yeah, it should have been. Well,
from
well,
from Seattle side, like they should have.
Oh yeah,
more points
when they got the lead, yeah, they should have went there to piled on because you know what? Let's Russell Wilson fucked up. We're gonna be even about this. Like he threw in what should have been the game ending. Interception in OT. Mm-hmm. He had the forced fumble that got 49ers back in the game that went for a touchdown. Same thing that Jimmy did. So they kind of mirrored each other in this weird sort of way.
Coaching. I shoot Russell Bell just for the fact that we always talk about what he has to overcome and all the shit that he has. He has to be great every Sunday.
He has
Sunday.
Better weapons than San Francisco.
He does, but he has to be – he just got Josh Gordon. Like, this is the first game.
Well, Josh Gordon was limited, but he still – and he did lose Lockett. But overall, his team is better.
Overall, it is.
And he has the better coach.
But that's mostly based off of him. That's not based off of
the
weapons around him.
Pete Carroll.
No, yeah.
And a sound running game. That Seattle team.
The scheme of the running game. You be poo-pooing on Chris Carson. So I don't say the running game as far as like the back. It's more of like the team and how they run everybody. Anybody behind that backfield is going to get 1,000 yards just because they're going to run it at least 30 times a game. So – my thing is that Russell Wilson has to be perfect damn near in every game for them to be in it. And this is the first time you've seen him, like, have blemishes. But
maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I do know that Russell doesn't panic.
Yeah. This is only his second pick in, like, what, 8 games?
Yeah, and we saw the difference in the quarterbacks in late-game situations, pressure moments. Russ doesn't have that. Plus, he has the stability of coaching, and like you, it feels comfortable. I mean, because he won two Super Bowls.
He went to two.
He went to two Super Bowls with him. I mean, Kyle went to one either, but damn, Pete Carroll gave one away too.
Yep.
But
by not running
either
the ball,
way, it go, man. Like Russ made his mistakes, but what Russ has is he has that X factor. He has that it factor where, just like Brady, no matter what happens, if you give him the ball, even when he make a mistake, you're probably going to lose, and that's what happened. Mm. And he ended up losing, even in spite of the mistakes he made, because Russ can overcome his mistakes. Pete Carroll can help Russ overcome some of those mistakes. Jimmy and Kyle cannot do that.
You talk about Jimmy, and this is the best year for them to get out of his contract because his contract is pretty much up as far as Dick. Like, if they want to eat some money, they could. And they could draft a QB. Nonetheless, I wouldn't be surprised if they draft the QB this year anyway.
I think they need to draft the QB, especially if one falls to them. I don't know who they have as their backup. So I don't think it would hurt for them to go ahead and get one. But I think going 8-1 with a limited Jimmy G, I think is going to – we'll see how the second half plays
out. I just think that you can put anybody with Kyle Shanahan and he'll make them shine.
I think he wants Jimmy G, and I think he wants to shine with Jimmy G, and I think he believes in Jimmy G. If he continues to be successful and win with him in the second half, they're not going to get rid of Jimmy G. If they fall apart, they may start looking.
Anything else about college that you want to touch on?
Nah. Yeah,
it's getting to that time, though. So yeah,
it is.
We'll be diving into it. We could talk about the NBA a little bit. It's still early. I'm like, damn.
Before we get on that, Major League Baseball.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
The Astros have been a key, and this is trending. That's how big this is. But the Astros, 2017 team, World Series team, has been accused of stealing signals Funny enough, signal stealing has been a topic of discussion for the last couple of months in the Major League Baseball. There's a video, and I'll put that in the show notes, of how they did it. So whenever there's a changeup, there will be a loud bang, boom, boom, in the dugout to let the batter know that that's what's being called. Mm. And if it's fastball, it wouldn't be anything. I listened to it.
And it's consistent?
I listened to it. I heard it myself. And I was like, damn, like they got him. Carson Smith, a Boston reliever, also accused him of doing the same thing as well. And the thing I – cheating is cheating, and signal stealing in baseball isn't uncommon. But, dang, man, like the guy that snitched on him was the guy that was on that team.
Really?
Fires, Mike Fires. He was like, yeah, I want to believe in the integrity of the sport and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bro, you got a World Series ring because of them. He snitched in the Athletic.
Wow. Is it like that commercial?
Oh, somebody need to go see him.
Man.
Somebody need to go see him.
I don't know if y'all saw that commercial with that kid on the basketball court where he was like, he was out of bounds, but they didn't call it. Yeah. And he was like, Coach, like, I was out.
I was out. He was like, I touched it. I did, man. I touched it.
I couldn't believe it, man. I'm like, dang, is he really snitching on his old team?
Man, you ain't in trouble till you get caught. That's all I'll go by.
And they didn't get caught, but now that this is a scandal, we're gonna see how it plays out. But I think the thing, in addition to that, is that if you think about the Astros and when they were lighting people up, like, is this the formula to their success? Because they couldn't hit anybody in the World Series. So I don't know.
Yeah, damn. They'll take the titles away.
Nah, they ain't gonna do that. But. Well, I don't know.
That would make a statement.
I don't know.
I think that to make a statement, to make put an example.
Yeah,
I think you need to do something like that.
If you accuse of, that'd be kind of stupid. Yeah.
Season is washed.
They should be happy that we're talking about baseball after the season.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah. So anyway, yeah. But yeah, this is a development story. Lots to be found out. So we'll talk about it as more news come out.
NBA mostly got some rumors, and B, I got one for you. There's a possible rumor that the Warriors could trade for Andre Drummond. I don't know if you heard about that. It's a three-team trade.
I didn't hear about that.
It seems like they're trying to retool while this whole slow rebuild, or whatever you want to call it, play as we go.
Quit.
But it seems like they it's word around the street.
What's a three-team trade?
I didn't go into the full details, but I think it was obviously Warriors, Pistons. And I think they're looking for a third team to make the money make sense and for the players to make sense as well. I thought that was interesting because you've been harping on Andre Drummond for at least the last couple seasons, definitely this season, how he's been playing. That could be a really good piece for them.
Why they got that man dribbling the ball up court?
Ooh, Tristan Thompson?
Drummond.
They do. I was watching.
What do they do?
I was watching them against the Nets, and I saw him keep on bringing the ball up court. I'm like, and he's not even like a.
He's not Shaq. He's not Shaq could bring the ball up court. Like, bro, you're not Shaq. It's weird. But that is interesting with the Warriors quitting ass.
Yeah, I mean, shit, they lost my respect.
Draymond came out there, and he got ejected in, like, the first quarter. He was like, all right, I'm back, bitches. and then he went to sat down on the bench.
Sucking on his thumb. There's another rumor as far as Draymond going to Portland. And I think FIFO brought this up as far as that would be a great pickup.
That would be a good man.
Because my question was, what's going on with Portland? Because Portland hasn't been
playing.
They
always start slow, remember. They do. Dame put up, 60 on somebody.
And they lost. Against the Nets.
Hey, Kyrie.
At home.
Kyrie, that dude, man. That's a good team. They just underperformed.
Real quick. And so after nine games in the season so far.
It's not a good team. They're playing hard.
After nine games in the season so far in the East, you got Boston at 8-1, Miami 7-3, Miami, Milwaukee, Philly, and Toronto are all 7-3. Indiana 7-4.
Shout out to the Raptors.
Right, yeah. Brooklyn 4-5, Charlotte 4-6, and then it gets worse after that. Atlanta's 3-6. In the West, you got LA and Denver both at 7-2. You got Houston and Clippers and Utah all at 7-3. Phoenix at 6-3. Dallas and Minnesota 6-4.
Wait, what's the Lakers record again?
7-2. They tie for the best record
the Clippers?
No, Clippers is 7-3. Denver is 7-2.
Okay.
I think so, didn't the Lakers just lose to?
Yeah, they lost to the Raptors.
Yeah. You know, 82 games
without Ibaka and
Lowry.
We'll see.
Yeah, LeBron was kind of being very passive in that fourth quarter. I don't understand why.
Yeah, it looked like it was a weird game.
Maybe trying to force feed AD too much.
I don't know Vogel's. I have to watch more games, but it's weird because I saw you say that in the group chat, and I responded because when he was in New Orleans, they didn't have to get AD the ball.
I don't know if it's because they want the offense to flow through LeBron.
Yeah, that's what I gotta figure out.
They rather have anybody on the court. We want LeBron to have the ball, which makes sense. But at the same time, it's like you don't need to play with AD like that.
Yeah,
like,
that's
AD
weird.
Can go get his own. Or at least he's supposed, that's what you traded him for.
No, he can.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I've seen him, and he has some pretty good games so far this season already as well. But, like, the way they're playing it with him is, like, he's not JaVale McGee. Like, you can let him do him.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's still early, though. Yeah. This is still early.
They don't have all their guys. Kuzma just getting back. Rondo is on the way back. So
I think Rondo played tonight or another night,
But I give him props, man. Seven straight. Like, many people were low on him. Yeah. Like, they look good.
They do. They do look good. They look good last year, too, as well, though.
Yeah.
So they didn't look like this.
They were, like, number three in the West.
Four. It was four.
That was four, but it took them a minute to get up to speed. They didn't come out the gate like this.
Yeah, they didn't. Not last year, no.
Yeah, I give you that.
Yeah, this was a struggle, so. But we'll see. It's so early.
Another rumor I had was D'Angelo Russell could land in Chicago. And I was thinking about that as far as AD and his conversations. No.
AD ain't going to Chicago.
If you got Zach LaVine, D'Angelo Russell,
I'm not even Wendell Carter.
I'm just saying.
I think people just heard him say that and just ran with it. I even think AD was trolling the reporters when he said that. I didn't even think he took that serious when he said it. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
There's no money in Chicago.
Yeah, it's none.
But as far as legacy.
Now, I would say this.
He could bring Chicago back.
If Lakers win a championship this year. And he'd be like, okay, well, I came here and got a ship. I can play for my hometown.
Pull a Kawhi.
Yeah. I can see him. If they win championship this year.
But we have no reason.
But, like, if they, like, close, if they right on the cusp, he ain't leaving L.A. He ain't leaving LeBron to go play for damn Chicago. Like, no, he's not doing that.
The biggest storyline that I'm hearing right now, and, of course, this is dealing with my Knicks. It seems like it's a dumpster fire already.
I feel bad for Fizdale. Man.
Yeah, they trying to get him out. Stephen Mills. I was trying to be like, man, this is the best pro black team in the NBA, and they in fighting early. The Knicks is trying to
not even 10 games.
They don't even like Steve Mills, to be honest. No. They trying to get the Raptors GM Sai Ujiri.
Yep.
They trying to get him.
So that's why he's doing all this.
Yes, he's putting all the. He's trying to push this fire to the coach.
Yeah,
because he's saying that these niggas looking at me because he's been. Look at all the coaching changes he's had under his regime over the last even 5 years. You have, and these are just some random ass niggas. You got Kurt Rambis. You got Derek Fisher. You got. Mike Woodson, you got, what's his name, John?
It don't matter.
It's just like all these motherfuckers are like, all right, everybody's been here. We've been dealing with all this shit. We got to look at you now. You're the only consistent thing now.
You got to go out. I mean, even if it wasn't, you still got to go after Masai.
He's
good at what he does.
And because Giannis is up in 2021, I believe.
Giannis ain't coming to New York.
We can't dream, Ken. Basketball is about dreams. Ball is life.
He may.
If we get us.
Oh, yeah, because Masai is African, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that's a big part of the NBA Africa thing.
Oh, so, yeah, that's possible. They got a connection.
Mm-hmm. So I think that, I think he's just a phenomenal GM, by the way.
Especially
He can leave Toronto and nobody really would complain.
He did it in Denver. He did it in Toronto.
If he could do it with the Knicks. They could build a statue for him right then and there. Mm-hmm.
And if you're Giannis, I mean, Giannis seems like he's big on legacy. To go to New York and turn
big
that around.
Yeah,
if
big
you
market like that. Yeah.
If you could do that shit in Milwaukee. Yeah.
And that would help him out as far as the individual awards. I know we all supposed to think about championships, but as far as him, like that whole MVP conversation we had last year, as far as like, can we really see a foreign player as an MVP, that would nix that if he's in a big market.
Well, he already got the
MVP.
I'm saying like with moving forward in his legacy, like we won't look at him as you just a good foreign player. Like I feel like what we do with
Ginobili. He'll always be African.
But
it's the name. We can't get away from it.
But he could be the Olajuwon as far as you look at him as the player, not where he came from. Like, we don't look at him in a separate category like we would Manu, as far as like, oh, he's the best.
I don't think I've ever looked at him that way though.
I think some people have. Okay. You don't talk about Giannis like you talk about Kawhi, the LeBrons, the KDs. Like, he's up there because of his stats, but not as far as presence.
He's a little bit more known now. He be making more social media. He's in commercials now and stuff.
The Hulu shit.
The people in that Hulu shit ain't been balling like this. We'll see.
Giannis been doing his thing, though.
Yeah.
Shooting threes and shit.
Yeah.
Look at the Greek freak expanding his range. Yeah.
But
that would be a good look.
Is Fizdale, is it justifiable for him to be in the hot seat?
No, absolutely not. This is definitely Steve Mills trying to save his job. I read that report. And when this fool talking about we should be competitive with the other teams,
right?
I was like, with
Stephen
what?
A. lost it on a damn on this show.
Yeah, he did. He did. Because at first I thought he was like, okay, we shouldn't be 2-8.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what I thought. But then when I read that, he said he thought they should be competing with the top teams in the
hell
East.
No. You're
blind, brother.
I want to make
you're
sure
you're a nincompoop
right.
If you're saying that.
I was
because I was
shout out to Larry David.
I was thinking like, all right, you're 2-8. You got blown out by Cleveland. You got beat bad by Sacramento. All right, these are the teams that you should be like, you should be more competitive and win a game here and there. As far as the rest of the top of the East, top of the West, don't even worry about that. If you can even get it close in the fourth quarter, that's a big win for me.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, my main thing is the progression of this young talent. Yes, you brought in Julius Randle, even though he ain't what the free agent we wanted. But I'm all about RJ Barrett, Kevin Knox,
and he regressing.
Frank Nicolina, who's been since he came out of that FIBA Frank, whatever they calling him. He's been balling. Dennis Smith Jr. I think it's done for him. I think we should let him go. But nonetheless, the young talent, we need to keep that going and seeing that progression.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was the issue, because RJ Barrett looked good and then he didn't. And then he was – I saw the rotation and Kevin Knox was coming off the bench. I'm like, they didn't draft him for no reason. Why are you bringing him off the bench?
I think it was more because we need a spark off the bench and you have to justify these the players that we already
paid. The Knicks want to play their players. I think that's my
– the thing. Fans want to see that. But as far as the paycheck, you gotta play the Morris brother. You gotta play Julius Randle.
He could be a spark off the bench.
You need to play at least Bobby Portis or
he could be a spark off the bench. We know what he is. Develop these young guys. So that's what I thought it was. I thought it was the fact that he wasn't developing the young guys.
No, I think it's the record. I think they should be more 4-4 than 2-8, or like if it's out of 10, I think 4-6 than 2-8. But at the same time, again, you're dealing with so much young talent. You can't ask for being more than 5. All I want for Christmas is for the Knicks to be 500. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn how they get there. Just get it done. And that's the only pressure I'm putting on Fizdale. It's like, how great of a coach can you win? Like when that win in Dallas, that was a great win.
Yeah,
that was a great win. Even in Chicago, that was a great win. Granted, it's only the only two wins you could talk about, but they showed a lot in those wins.
Yeah, so Woj and Malika Andrews reported Monday that Mills has started to lay the internal groundwork for the eventual dismissal of Fizdale while trying to protect himself by telling owner James Dolan the roster was built to contend in the weaker Eastern Conference. Contend is the operative word for me. Contend with what? Contend to me means that you're thinking that you're going to be a playoff team.
Right.
That you're going to be like competing for the eighth seed. I just don't see it.
Y'all playing for that first round pick again. The most lottery balls.
With a rookie RJ Barrett, Kevin Knox, who is more of a scorer than anything, and Julius Randle. What the hell are you going to do?
Right.
So.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, shit. I don't know why I do this to myself. I pick the teams. I don't know why the teams I love. They cause me the most heartache.
Should be like me, man. Just watch from afar.
Be a deadbeat sports fan.
Yep.
All right. That'll do it for us this week as far as my topics.
Yeah, it will. And I want to get into this load management, but we're going to wait till FIFO comes back because I want to get his thoughts on this whole thing because I think it's ridiculous. But yeah, that's going to do it for us this week. We'll catch you guys next time. Oh, damn it. I'm sorry. I told somebody I was going to read their comment on air. Let me see if I can find the Twitter. He hit me up. He was mad about Embiid. Let's see. Where is that? So at underscore Castell. So this is a message that I got from the DM. So he said he was listening to Dead End Sports at work because that's what I do, and y'all need to put some respect on the Greek Freak's name. The man's almost a year younger than Embiid and has led his team to the first seed in the NBA record-wise with much less talent than Boston, Philly, or Toronto. Also, my boy took the Celtics to 7 last year, and the Sixers only took them to 5, so get that narrative out of here. Great podcast, though, but I had to defend my favorite player. Then he also said Embiid is 25, turns 26 in March. Giannis is 24. Ben Simmons is 23. Facts only. FIFA saying Embiid is 23 is way off. He was out for the first 3 years, which is true. So
now, I forgot that we didn't see Embiid until like later on. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I don't think this is even a discussion as far as who's the best player between Giannis and Embiid, because obviously Giannis is the most consistent player between the two, and he got the MVP. But I will say this. My main concern against Giannis is more about, can he get a mid-range? Until he gets a mid-range, he can't be the – I want to say he's the – I was about to say that last year. I think I did say last year, too. I was trying to say he's the best player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But until he gets that mid-range – and I'm not talking about much, like a Chris Middleton mid-range or
– He sound like we sound when we talk about Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he can just get that, he'll be literally the best player in the league. There will be no – hands down, no – I don't care if it's Kawhi. I don't care if it's KD. Giannis, if he can get a 16-footer, he will be the best player in the league.
I don't know if Giannis is better than Embiid, but we can have that discussion later.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about Embiid. He ain't done shit. You can't win with him.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, that's...
Anyway, all right, man. We'll catch y'all later. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Guys, I'll make this quick so you can get back to your murder podcast or whatever you're listening to. I'm Drama from Group Chat, the number one podcast in the world. We make cool people smarter and smart people cooler. Seriously. Our topics range from Kim Kardashian to Jeff Bezos to Donald Trump and everything in between. If you want to be entertained and educated, check us out right now in the podcast app. Just search Group Chat. By the way, the ex-boyfriend isn't the killer. It's her best friend who is. Sorry for ruining that. But now that you have a little bit more time, give us a listen.